Yes, good morning. 9:02, January 23rd, 2013. I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. Good morning, all. We will begin with an invocation, and then Mr. Cadane will do the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to welcome Reverend Dr. Jill Hudson, who's a spiritual leader, pastor, mentor, community builder, who serves as senior pastor of Cathedral of Hope United Church of Christ, the world's largest liberal Christian church with a primary outreach to the LGBT community. Joining the Cathedral in August 2004, Dr. Hudson came to Cathedral of Hope after 7 years as pastor of Friends of Congregational Church in College Station. In February 2005, she was elected to serve as senior pastor, making Cathedral of Hope the largest church in the state of Texas and one of the largest in the United States to be led by a woman. Now, in her 7th year as senior pastor, Dr. Hudson is leading a strategic planning initiative overseeing the continued development of the Interfaith Peace Chapel on the campus of the church and naming 2 new parish churches, Cathedral of Hope in Houston and Cathedral of Hope in Mid-City. She has sought after locally, regionally, and nationally as an inspirational teacher, speaker, and worship leader, and I will say a very good preacher. I thought you did a great job. Please, would you lead us in an invocation, Dr. Hudson?
Mayor, council members, and all present, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you on behalf of our 4,300 members in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. If you are a person of faith, I invite you to pray with us. If you are not a person of faith, I hope you will stand in silence with us and share your thoughts of the human spirit. Let's pray. Holy One of many names, we come this day, on this beautiful day, and give thanks for all that is here. We give you thanks for this moment. We give you thanks for what lies ahead and for the opportunity to be people who follow dreams and visions and hope. This morning, I especially pray for the leaders of our great city. I pray you will bestow upon them an extra measure of your spirit. Break open their hearts so that they might meet the needs of the people of this city. Break those who have power to make things happen and those who are pushed to the edge of our society and need their help desperately. I pray that you would grant them strength for the day and courage for the journey. Grant them wisdom to see and to hear, to dream and to vision. Because there is still much to be done in this great city. There is still much to hope in this great city. So come now and send your spirit, that the work done here may truly be your own. And we will give you thanks and glory. Hear our prayer, O God, our God of many names. Amen.
Today, the flag of the United States of America. Thank you. And I will heartily commend the service at the Cathedral of Hope. If anybody wants to have a great service, thank you, Dr. Hudson, for being here. Let us move to our morning speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have had one cancellation this morning, therefore you only have 2 speakers this morning, Trina Prince and Robert Goff. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and due conduct as applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who come basic while expressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is interrupted by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council. Individuals who have 2 minutes to speak will notice the timer at the podium. When the timer takes to zero, please allow the next individual to come. Again, the first speaker is Tina Cook.
Good morning. Tina Cook, Dallas, Texas. What a great tale. And I do send my condolences to Houston and Dallas and Co. Connecticut to the American Hospital for the Care. Two of the people who work for Houston. I felt that pretty much be. Nevertheless, I put to you, and I'm going to display my birth certificate, certification of birth. The seal is on it. To see that that's what it is. Trinity Church, female, the daughter's name, my mother's maiden name, that my father's initial. That doesn't change. I don't care what I do. This is not here. I don't use glue. I don't use stitching. If it goes, it goes. If it stays, it stays. God will recognize me in heaven. I change him a thing. Not even my name. But some things do change. Some things do change. And that's what I'm here to speak about, changes. Government changes. As a matter of fact, lots of people out there who are electing government changes. You can change your set, but you can't change your birth certificate. You can't change whether you have an handicap or not. I don't have that because I'm female. But nevertheless, that can change. But you can change in size, shape, whatever it is. Things change. I say that because I've reported to you all a lot of terrible things that are happening at shelters and to the poor. And I've seen some changes. Money has been utilized for bringing you losses and dryers. You all voted for new facilities to be implemented. All with money being paid. Nevertheless, those simple things that couldn't be changed. That will provide health and safety for poor individuals, such as women not being put out of shelters with no place to go, health and safety problems, such as doors being closed, and people being left inside, indoors, away from the toxins and the pollen. I myself suffer from allergies because of the toxins and the pollen. Some citizens at all costs to die. And as money can be used to bring greater progress to the city, for some reason, those things don't change. And since I've let you know the problem, I'm wondering if the city of Dallas and Dallas County is listed. Those simple things haven't changed. Thank you all.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Robert Dahl. Robert Dahl? Not present? That concludes the speakers this morning, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll move to item 1, approval in minutes.
Item number 1 is approval of minutes of the January 9, 2013 City Council meeting.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Move to consent agenda item. I think we've got some polls. Would you please tell us which ones you polled?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Your consent agenda consists of items number 2 through 33 and addendum items number 1 through 13. Item number 2 has been polled by Council Member Acton. Agenda item number 7 and number 28 have been polled by Council Member Grayson. As well, addendum items number 11 and 12, which needs to be considered collectively. The reports are individual consideration by Council Member Pease due to conflict of interest and then Council Member Pease as well. Item number 20 and number 22 have been selected on the agenda. Therefore, for your consideration on the consent, you have agenda items number 3 through 6, 8 through 27, 28 through 33, addendum items number 1 through 10, and addendum number 13. We do have several speakers on a few of these items this morning.
Thank you. We'll entertain the speakers.
Thank you. Your first speaker will be Richard Sheridan, followed by Tina Case, William Hopkins, and Craig Halton. Mr. Sheridan is speaking on agenda items number 3, 4, 6, 9, and 11. And agenda items number 3, 4, 6, 9, and 11. Individuals are allowed 2 minutes to speak.
Thank you. Mr. Sheridan, do you have a clock? Do you see the clock up there? Because I can't see.
Yes.
So you've got it. I'll look at the roses. Thank you very much. Please proceed.
Yes, my name is Richard Sheridan, CO224 Dallas, Texas. Item 3 and 4, a Dallas landscaping contract to maintain the truck stop right away, $8.8 million. Our able-bodied homeless men and women being used on this contract, it would help our homeless condition. I guess I put the wrong number down here, has to do with all camp personnel, $28 million for all camp personnel for a total contract of, how much is it? Hundreds of millions of dollars? $11 million? Thank you. I have two concerns about this contract. Is Dallas continuing its slave labor force? In 2011, the Reverend Peter Johnson led a protest at City Hall with some union activists to raise voter awareness that Dallas sanitation workers don't have a livable wage. James Fonteberry with the United Labor Union stated that Dallas sanitation workers make just above minimum wage and have no benefits. Mary Nett, who used to head the Dallas Sanitation Department, stated that Dallas has used contract day labor on garbage trucks for more than 10 years. The only requirement is that the contract immediately include federal minimum wage. Ms. Nett, I understand, was removed from her position possibly as a scapegoat. In a Curiali article, Councilmember Angela Hunt is quoted saying, "It looks to me that today's sanitation workers are like the message." Like you said, we need to have a livable wage. Excuse me, have a livable wage for our sanitation workers. It looks to me that today's sanitation workers are like the Memphis sanitation workers fight for a livable wage in 1968. Dr. Martin Luther King saw the Memphis labor abuse as part of his Poor People campaign. As you know, Dr. King was assassinated in Memphis by a multiple party conspiracy of white men, all caps white men, who wanted to keep blacks poor. I believe it's time to go for a major nonviolent sanitation workers strike and protest. Perhaps the mantra should be, we ain't taking your garbage anymore, City Hall. We are men, and we'll be treated as men. Item 6, 7, 8, and 9 have to do with spending about $500,000 on homeless services. To be concise, Dallas homeless services are an abomination in the face of God, and I'm sure most, if not all, of these contracts continue to disgrace Dallas. Item 11, the Calicata Bridge. The second Calicata Bridge. The lie and suffer our part continues. The Trinity Trust. I said Trinity with respect to our Trinity Park should mean good government, good business, and good people. It's certainly the opposite of that. Definitely the opposite of that. The Trinity is continuing the theft of our park with $5 million for another Calicata Bridge. It again represents the special interest stealing the people's park, which should be a park, for the minority in this city, 55% of the people in this city are Hispanic and Black, and the old class white man got nothing to do with them and don't want them in their park. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker is going to be Tina Case, speaking on consent agenda items 15 and 16. Ms. Case will be followed by William Hopkins and Chris Holton.
Good morning again, and again, I say welcome back Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday, President Obama, being inaugurated again. And what I'd like to say, because they said a lot of the Latino support and different things, you know, but the African American support and all of that, is that without the two spoke about. And what the King of Pop also said is that it really shouldn't matter whether you're black or white. And when this nation decides not to worry about that, then we can come together and stop trying to appease this group or that group. And then I'm speaking right here, and it's about election and voting for you guys.
What are you?
Women, child care services for the homeless, families, and...
Do you have a number?
15 and 16.
Right.
And then the grant, the money that this government is giving towards homeless services. I'm 49 years old. I've never had my own children. DNA don't tell you either. Check the record. Nobody can ask me. Nevertheless, I've never been married. So, that's why. But I pray and feel sorry for women and children who have to live in shelter. It is not a good environment. This government releases federal funds to take care of these women and children in these shelters and environments. And yet these monies are not used to adequately provide safe and healthy services for these women and children. What are they going to do with this money that they're giving? And who's going to oversee how it is spent and make sure that it is effectively and efficiently utilized, that it is utilized to govern safe and healthy practices for women and children, and not to take care of partners who are associated with receiving money for services such as sickness and disease and other things. Let us have a checks and balances when the government gives out federal and local funds of taxpayers' money. You're responsible for how it's spent. Make sure these people are protected and it is used to empower them to a better condition and situation. Thank you.
The next speaker is William Hopkins, and Mr. Hopkins will be speaking on agenda items number 1 through 13.
Hello, my name is William Hopkins. I will spend my time talking about the bridge. We're going to build another bridge. But Martin Luther King died in New Orleans. I have the conversation book, agenda item number 4. We celebrated. And I wondered if Martin hadn't got killed. And he was still here. And he come down here today, Lord Rollins, and he would ask the city of Dallas, you know, why are you contracting the sanitation workers, you contracting the work out to a tent service. He would ask you, Mayor Rollins, why are you doing this? And being black, and trying to talk about Martin Luther King, and we hear from the contract out the temp service for the sanitation workers, it's hard. It always makes me about to cry. Standing here being a black man and to know that he was murdered, man, and for these people. And years later, we hear that he was murdered for nothing. The people murdered, he was murdered to help these people, and we heard today the contract they work on. This is so hard. It's so hard for me. Well, I was going to ask, and Mary Stone, I was here, Mayor Roberts, when Mary Tony some horses for the police department. They needed something to walk on. And Mary Tony come down here and she talked up for the horses for the police department and told them why the horses need something to walk on for so many thousands of dollars, and they got it. I want Mary Tony to come down here and say something about these sanitation workers, Mayor Roberts. I want somebody to say something about these foundation workers that Martin Luther King was murdered. He was murdered so bad. And I want somebody to say something, Mayor Rollins, about these foundation workers that Martin went so far to help. These people that they not important to the city of Dallas, but they was important to Martin. It was important, so important to Martin, man, he went. And they probably told him, we're going to kill you. They're going to kill you, Martin. He probably knew it, man. He probably knew the people were going to kill it.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
The next speaker is Craig Holcomb, and he's going to speak on addendum items number 11 and 12.
Good morning. I'm Craig Holcomb. I live at 3601 Turtle Creek. I'm representing the Kennedy Commons Foundation and speaking in favor of addendum items 11 and 12. This weekend, a music critic at one of our local newspapers wrote a particularly vituperative column about the Margaret McDermott I-30 bridge. While I do not agree with him, I'm going to use his column as the structure for my remarks. First, what he did not say, which is that 156,000 vehicles per day use this bridge right now. In the future, that number will only get larger, and providing these arches will enhance the life of everyone who's driving that bridge. That is incredibly important and good. In addition, he did not point out that the arches are being built at no extra expense to the Dallas taxpayer. Those two things are a signature achievement in and of themselves. But secondly, he complained that the arches were not over the vehicular lanes or over the pedestrian and bike lanes. As a city, under the leadership of Councilman Riggs and Councilwoman Harris, we have said we want a healthy lifestyle with more bike lanes, more pedestrian lanes. That is what we are doing with this bridge. The Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge does not have those lanes. That is a significant signature achievement that is following the policy set by the council. Third, he complained that the arches look like arches that Mr. Calatrava has designed in other places. Well, I would point out to you the Frank Lloyd Wright designed Toledo Hunt Space Theater on Turtle Creek. If you go to New York and look at the Frank Lloyd Wright Guggenheim design Guggenheim Museum on Fifth Avenue, you will notice they look a lot alike. That does not detract from their beauty or their architectural significance. Having these arches is a signature achievement. Finally, he complained because the arches weren't big. Well, my friends, we have all heard Dallas criticized over and over for only wanting to build big and flashy. So the fact that we're building something simple and elegant and small is actually a step forward in our sophistication as a city. I would point out that is also a signature achievement, and would urge you to vote yes on the agenda items 11 and 12. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holcomb, and I'd like to, any time our city council people in the audience would like to recognize and thank you for coming. Thank you, Mr. Mazinski, to you up there as well.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Cowley has advised me that he wants to pull agenda item number 22 for individual consideration. Therefore, for the city council's approval on the consent agenda items number 3 through 6, 8 through 21, 22 through 27, 29 through 31, addendum items number 1 through 10, and addendum item number 13.
Do we have a motion to approve? We have a motion and a second. Discussion?
Mr. Mayor, can we ask for a repeat of the items, please?
On your consent agenda, items number 3 through 6, 8 through 21, 23 through 27, 29 through 31, addendum items number 1 through 10, and addendum items number 13, as well addendum item number 20 was collected on the agenda.
Thank you. We have a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. I will say one thing, partners. I'll send out a memo. I'm going to refresh our city council rules of engagement and polling items. We seem to be all kind of waiting to the last minute. It's not fair for the other council people to not understand those issues and study them. So I will pull that back out of the archives and send that memo so we can make sure that we get back on track on that issue. But we'll move ahead today. I'll call items number 11 and 12, Mr. O.C.D.H. Addendum items 11 and 12.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Addendum items number 11 and 12 need to be considered collectively and councilmember Kate first out of conference and will step out of the council chamber. As well, councilmember Hayes could hold addendum item number 11 for individual consideration. Addendum item number 11 is authorized number 1, the receipt and deposit of funds in the amount of $5 million. From the Trinity Trust Foundation for the construction of the Interstate Highway 30 bridge pedestrian and bicycle component. Number 2, the receipt and deposit of donated funds in the amount of $443,423 from the Dallas Foundation. Number 3, an interest in appropriations in the Interstate Highway 30 bridge donation funds in the amount of $6,321,202. And number 4, payment to the Texas Department of Transportation TxDOT for construction of the bicycle and pedestrian components of the Margaret McDermott Interstate Highway 30 bridge over the Trinity floodway. Addendum item number 12 is authorized a project-specific agreement with Dallas County for funding participation for the design and construction of Interstate Highway 30 bicycle and pedestrian connections between Riverfront Boulevard and Beckley Avenue.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am delighted to offer a motion to approve addendums item 11 and 12. These items were discussed at the Trinity River Florida Project Committee and recommended to be moved forward for approval to the full council unanimously at that time. Councilmember Holcomb, thank you very much for your very eloquent defense of this bridge and your collective of a writer who appears not to have studied the facts. Thank you also for your continued involvement, along with that of Mary McDermott Cook, Gerald Thomas, and Councilmember McCaskey, who are sitting with you. This bridge shows the involvement of our entire community through the private donations of the Trinity Trust at a substantial amount, through funding by the RTC, which represents the entire region, through the very generous donations, or rather grant money from the federal government secured by our federal delegation, most notably Senator Hutchinson, Congresswoman Johnson, and Congressman Pete Sessions, all of whom are very much interested in this vote this morning. I know that because I've heard from them. This is a signature honor for the city of Dallas. We or an international city, and this is another denotation of that international status. Mr. Mayor, I've already made the motion, but I am most pleased to reiterate that I move approval of addendum items 11 and 12. Thank you, sir.
We have a second as well. Discussion, Mr. Gray.
Thank you, Mayor. On a big project, I'll make a few comments. First is the opportunity cost that's involved. Anytime you go over budget on a project like this, you have to use masks. and ask the federal government and ask the ROTC, and that represents an opportunity for us. And these big projects is really the duty to keep the cost under control. And this one with the bridge being at $74 million initially for the Deca development, and now the Deca development with its bike and pedestrian facilities coming in over $100 million, so that we're not keeping the cost under control. One is here to go use an app, which is an opportunity cost. Second is on policy. With these apps, we've already had the apps made and the apps landed. And our mission is asked for us to be a policy discussion after first through how we want to use our apps to raise our value. And back here, we put the cart before the horse. The apps have been made, the apps have been granted. And so here we are, really, from a policy perspective, the policy has already been set before it gets to policy making involved. And so that's a concern on how we operate these big projects. Third, we really need to work on funding the O&M on these projects. These bridges are very expensive to maintain. I believe the first Calatava bridge is on the order of $250,000 per year to maintain. And I was wondering, do you have an estimate on the second bridge, will it be the maintenance?
The current estimate for O&M on the bridge is $450,000.
$450,000. The first bridge is $250,000. And does this money come from my state budget or which budget?
I don't know.
General fund. And what's a street budget approximately for all the streets in City Hall?
$60 million.
So these two bridges are on the order of 1% of the entire street budget to maintain two bridges. So that's why it's so critical here, because these bridges are expensive to maintain. We got two bridges, 1% of our whole budget to maintain all the streets, fixing all the potholes. We certainly need potholes and need repairs. And so that's why we need to set aside for the O&M. And I know not only do we need to look for ways up front to fund any cost overages, but almost more importantly up front is we need to find sources to fund the operation and maintenance of these bridges. And for this project, we're borrowing some money from the first Calatava bridge. I think that those funds should stay with the first Calatava bridge at over $1 million to offset O&M. Because these are certainly costly to operate and maintain. And that's how we are in the city of Dallas. We need for it to be a 21st century city. We need to look at not only getting big projects done, but getting them done on budget, and then to get them done in a manner where upfront we're helping to offset the enormous O&M. So there's still money where we can restore our basic potholes, street lights, our arterials, and our other items are so critical. So those would be my three issues for this big project. One, by going over budget, there's an opportunity cost associated with the cost. Number two, almost from a policy perspective, the decisions have already been made, because the asks have been made and granted even before this body fully discussed it. And three, the O&M. We're doing this focus on ways to take care of this O&M up front, because these two bridges are over $600,000 a year in maintenance, which is over 1% of our entire street budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Mr. Carroll.
Thank you, Mayor. And I understand the Councilman's grief concern. But one thing I will say, if we're going to continue to be the city on the lead, well, we're going to have to continue to step out. I want to thank all of everyone that's been involved with the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge. I'm very excited about the Margaret McDermott Bridge that's coming on I-30. I'm also pleased that when we have folks coming into California and you look at the core of the convention center hotels and you're coming in on I-30, and I was driving the other night and it's like I was trying to say, how does a person who's never been to Dallas, when you first see the skyline, that is the greatest impression of the excitement that you're going to enjoy in that city. And great, great members. I think that we have a responsibility to make sure that the excitement is here, but we also have a responsibility to make sure that we control the finance, as Councilman Riggs has so eloquently stated. But I don't think we hold the city hostage. I think we have good people with true commitments of making sure the Dallas stays on the mark. And we have a challenge. And there, our challenge is one, we need to simplify new revenue. There's a lot of revenue that's left on the table that we're not taking advantage of in a whole lot of areas that could subsidize some of these concerns we're having as related to streets. When we have projects, the facilities like the Fair Park, that we're leaving dollars on the table and not putting everything that we have into it to make sure that the revenue is generated there, using the Cotton Bowl more than two or three times a year. I think that our focus should be on how we can generate additional untapped revenue that we are leaving on the table, and then we can come back and subsidize those things. Plus, on top of that, we can continue to move forward with good and great things. So I don't think that we in a situation where we should not do great things such as we did. I'm excited and appreciative of everything that you all have done. Brother Latensky, I'm excited about our people. Sister Margaret, I'm excited about that. Praise all of you and all the work that you will continue to do. I think that the current vision we have has offered a lot of excitement, has generated a lot of things that's going to take place even greater in the West Dallas area, and not just West Dallas, but all of Dallas. I did my own survey about it. I was asking people, what do you think about this vision? It is significant, did you do the right thing? And they were excited about that vision. And we need to continue to try to figure out what else can we do. And we're going to do more. And it's going to cost the city for us to do more, but it's going to cost the city to compete with the Central Parks of New York and Las Vegas and the Hollywoods and all the other great things that's happening across the world. We're not a second-class city. We're not the richest city. But we're not the poorest city. And we're a city in folks' vision. And now I just continue to say, let's keep up the good work. And let's try to figure it out. But now, let's not get wild with our spending. Let's make sure our O&M, Calvin Ridge, are under control. But we can do that by way of doing other things that we're not currently doing and leaving dollars on the table that we need to roll up our sleeves and find this new revenue so we can continue to make sure that our streets are safe, our potholes are gone, and our citizens are happy. Yeah, I think I'm too far, man.
Thank you, Mr. Carroll. Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, man. You know, when you are in a great city and you want to be in a national, you got to do big things. And God, I wish that you came to Boston with us. And you look at the big deal in Boston, the big deal. You know, they say it might cost $4 million, but it costs $24 billion. $24 billion. And when they do that big deal, it opened up the entire city. Sometimes you gotta do big things. We are in big D. And big D means you're gonna do big things. You look at West Dallas. Many people think West Dallas is a second class city. We put that bridge to Second Nova. That is the kind of Lava Harbor, the residential area. People moving to West Dallas. People moving to West Dallas. When people come to see the Dallas, they want to see that bridge, the Icon, San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge. We the city, three cities came out of recession, and Dallas was one of the cities in the top three that came out of recession. Why did we come out of recession? Because we made money, we did big things. The Guest Park, the Art District, the Far Park, the Caboose Center Hotel. That's O&M. Caboose Center Hotel, we went to the taxpayers, and they told us, do not build a hotel. But the voters said, build a hotel. Is it the risk? Still fall back on the general fund, and we fall short. But it was a risk. We grow our tax base. Long as we grow our tax base, we are going to take care of old men. As long as we're moving to the Dallas, as long as we got more permits, we look at a permit department, we have a problem. Last year, we did over $700 million permits. That was $6 million to the general fund. That's $6 million general fund. Now, part of the $6 million we do not have can't go for O&M. We got a great city manager. We got a policy maker. The train of trust, volunteer. Everyone get briefed. We know it will cost big money. And people are not going to come to the city of Dallas if we don't have the outcome, and we got to make sure West Dallas is taken care of. And this bridge with the Nova, and I recall three stars out there. When I first came in the council, we talked about the bridge, but guess what? I came back, it took us 16 years to see it done. So we got to make sure the people sit down here like, we all going to take chances. We got to take big chances. So we big D. And people come to the city of Dallas. I was looking at the city this morning, so how many Canadian people come to Dallas? They spent over $200 million in this region coming to the city of Dallas. Long as we do big things in the city of Dallas, we are going to have a risk. And a risk to the taxpayers. So long as we do great things to the city of Dallas, we are going to grow. I remember Ben was going to be here and this side of Chicago because we had nothing to do. Downtown was dead. No bridge, no nothing, no excitement. Like the man said, no excitement. We got to have excitement city. We got to be excitement. But we also got to be small. We balance our budget each year. We always balance the budget. We have problems with potholes. We fix the potholes. We have a city manager, former governor. We got a city manager. I think she's going to make sure that we spend $774 million for the bridge. She's going to make sure she put back $400,000 for O&M to make sure that bridge is taken care of. With that, policymakers, we are the policymakers. So we got a policy problem, let's fix the policy. We got a financial problem, the city manager is going to fix that. She's a great city manager, she's got a big purse, she's got plenty of money in the purse to fix the problem. And the taxpayer is going to make sure she fixes the problem. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins and Mr. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I have two financing questions. On this agenda item, it says that we're receiving $5.5 million, both from the Trinity Trust and the Dallas Foundation. $5 million from Trinity Trust, about $500,000 from the Dallas Foundation. But later on, it says that we're getting $6.5 million in bridge donation funds. Where's the other million coming from? From other donations that were given to the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge. So they were given to the Hill Bridge and we're going to move them over and use them on the McDonald Bridge. Okay. And then in the 2003 bond program, it's $646,000. Is that specifically coming from bond funds that were for the Kennedy Project?
No, it's for the public art fund from the 2003 bond program.
So that's the public art?
Those are the public art funds?
Yes. Okay. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gates and Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Yeah, I was just wanting to understand what will happen if this bridge goes over budget again. Where will funds come from and where will we look for them? We just saw such an increase in the last Charles Harbor Bridge. We saw that the economic. What will we do in this case?
Well, in the resolution that we passed last June, we are responsible for cost overruns. And so we will be working to make sure that we don't have increases, and then we would look for things that we could trade out, and then we would need to come up with additional funds. Now, one thing that we advantage that we have on this contract that we did not have in the Margaret Hunt Hill is that this is a lump sum contract. Margaret Hunt Hill is a quantity, a unit price. So if we went over in a tennis field, we had to pay, you know, more money per ton on the Margaret Hunt Hill. This is lump sum, so there's fewer opportunities for the contractor to ask for change orders.
and on this one.
If there are change orders, will they be coming back? They will be coming back to the city for funding.
Well,
and we'll either have to get into, we'll either have to borrow some bond funds, some general fund money, or ask, reach out to community partners again and ask for this help.
Well,
okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt, Ms. Hassel.
Thank you, Mayor. Jill, would you talk a little bit about the $20 million savings? We talked a little bit about that in committee. And so I wanted an understanding out there of the public that, you know, this, and I understand the O&M, and when you're talking about 1% of the total street budget, it, you know, that seems to be something we could, we could live with, especially after what my colleagues talked about in terms of, you know, Dallas creating and doing big things and everything I hear out in the public. I've had lots of one-on-ones, and people are very, very excited that Dallas continues to move forward, continues to do great things, and, you know, we do have to keep our eye on the finances, but I tell you that the perception of even just our citizens and then perceptions of people outside of Dallas has been greatly, greatly increased. I was born and raised here in Dallas, and I can tell you that to hear all the great things that have been happening in the past 2 to 3 years for someone who was born and raised here is just amazing. I mean, I've never had people come up to me and say, what are y'all doing over there? Or, we're doing great things. So I think that's a plus. I think we should capitalize on that and look for additional money where we can. And in terms of the policy setting and the ask that we actually go out for, you know, those things might have been done many years before those of us sitting here today, especially at the new one, and I can feel myself wondering, that must have been done, you know, it had to have been done way before all time. Because these things don't just happen, you know, in 2 years. It takes years and years, and certainly, you know, the families that are here in Dallas, all of those people that ponied up for the AT&T Performing Arts Center, you know, people like the cook, Gil Thomas was out raising money for this particular item from people who've never given before. So, you know, we really have to partner with our businesses here in Dallas and our families and our private donors and let them understand that, you know, we do still have our eyes on the finances and on the maintenance, but we understand that we want to make Dallas bigger and better. So if you could a little bit, I have two other things. If you want to talk a little bit about the $20 million savings, and then I want to talk, and then I want you to talk about the opportunity for savings through the contractors. And again, thank God this is a lump sum, but I think that we've got two great opportunities to save even more money on this, and maybe that goes to maintenance at O&M. So if you could talk a little bit about the $20 million,
mm-hmm.
You could talk a little bit about the contractor savings. And I just want to add that as a vice chair of the Arts Committee, I think this is something that certainly runs itself to the arts community. We have not depleted that fund at all, and I'm very, very proud that we can add to this as part of our arts culture. So if you'll talk a little bit about the $20 million in contractor savings.
But in terms of that estimate of the cost of this project, and then the bids came in, at $20 million less than the TxDOT estimate. Now the challenge for us is that we don't know we don't control where the contractor puts things like mobilization and profit and those kinds of things. So it would appear that our piece is over budget. It could be, however, that the contractor put things into our piece that, you know, he felt confident that we were going to do this. This is a lump sum, so he's guaranteed that he's going to get that money. And, you know, we can't prove that one way or another because that's the contractor's business. This was a concern that the city staff had when we went into this because we knew that the ordering the steel would be one of the first things that was done. And so it would be a large chunk of money going out the door early in the contract, which helps bring money forward in the contract, which helps the contractor finance the deal throughout. So the whole project is $20 million under budget. So I think there is a reason to feel good that we've got a good overall price from the contractor, that we've got a good bid, and that we as a region are getting our money's worth. It's how we set this arrangement up. The TxDOT, we are responsible for funding the overages on the frontage road and the pedestrian amenities, and so we're the ones dealing with this plan. The good news, however, is it is a lump sum. Now we are, you know, potentially talking about doing a change order to improve the pedestrian access on either side of the bridge. And if we get good pricing from the contractor and if we have the money available, we are planning to bring a change order back to you all. So that's a potentiality that can work. Then your next question.
The contractor settings where they can
Where they can go. So we are also looking and working with the contractor on what we call value engineering. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at how can the contractor build this bridge in a more cost-effective manner and produce savings. So the first kind of things that we're looking at are really boring technical things that you and I would never see. So things like the welds, the specs called for the welds to be sanded on the inside of the arch in addition to the outside. Well, we would see the outside. The only person who's going to see the inside is the bridge inspector, so you don't need to do that. We're talking to him, to the contractor, about bolts versus welding. We're probably going to change out the railing to make it a more cost-effective design. So we're going through a bunch of the items. Now, some of the items we don't have final pricing for because it's something that one of the contractors sub will do, a fabricator. So we're still getting pricing in on that. So we're continuing to work on value engineering and continuing to make this the most cost-effective project that we can.
Right. And I think that was a point that I wanted to make, was that with the value engineering process, there is opportunity to save costs on this. Those are the little things that save big money, the sanding, the rail. So I want folks out there in the public to know that there is a very, very deep focus on making sure that we are saving costs at every time. And I'm not sure that happened with the first bridge. So, we're all very much more savvy now, and we understand it a little better. So, thank you so much for explaining that to us, and thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hassel, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. I see that this is a different individual district, which is 2, 3, and 6. So, how will it come? Does it kind of stretch it in those particular districts, 2, 3, and 6? The bridge.
It's just a function of where the bridges line up and where they fall on their landings and
Let me say this. I think, there is a business owner who, I think, he lives in one of the council members' districts, and I was having dinner with this person yesterday, and he was saying, it's amazing to see what is going on with the bridge. And he said, what I saw, I was just amazed that this the council member didn't like this particular bridge and had concerns about it. But he was very, very excited about what was happening. And he is a huge business owner that moved from Highland Park into one of the council members' districts. And so he was very, very excited about what he saw, and that's the reason he moved into the area, because of new things was happening in that area. And I am excited because what this does, it has the southern sector, I think. Even with the Mother Hump Bridge and even with the horseshoe, the SMI expanding the Great North Corridor, it's just an exciting time, I think, warm Southern sector. If you really, really take the time and look at what's going on, I think it's a plus for inner city communities like Raleigh to enhance. I think long-term it can bring business development into areas like Raleigh and Mr. Carroll and others. I think what it does is set you to look at a workforce of opportunities. And so I think this is a plus. I will be supporting items 11 and 12. And I'm hoping that the man moves forward so we can move forward with our guests. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Okay, thank you. Let's take the record book. Let's take the record book. One more. All right. Oh, Mr. Allison.
Voting in favor, Council Members Angel Golan, Zeta, Hasso, Caroline, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonso, Mayor Pro Tem McDonald, Council Members Jason, and Peel, and Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Voting now, Council Members Hunt and Ziggs. Absent on City Business is Jerry Allen. Absent due to conflict of interest is Linda Keith. And absent when vote taken is Cedric Cabin. The motion carries this morning.
Thank you very much. For those citizens of Dallas, I think it's important to recap what has happened today. Another act in our vision for the Trinity River is coming to pass. This has been something we've all been working on for the last two decades, really, when you think about what's happened with the Trinity River. Something I think we all agree unanimously around this council that the Trinity River can be a defining asset for the city of Dallas in the 21st century. And when you think for so long, people are saying there's not enough going on. And now you start to see these things happening. We've got the great signals from the Corps about the safety of our levees. We have opened up the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge and opened up into West Dallas. We passed bond elections for trails, for bike trails down in the Trinity River. We've approved a horse park and to be able to ride throughout the Great Trinity Forest. We've got the good news on our golf course in that same area. And now this spring we'll be breaking ground on another magnificent bridge. I hope this summer you can start digging on some lakes. Next summer. I like it this summer. As we all would. Something we were talking about. So I just want to say, I think it's time to take a deep breath and say, look at all these things happening. It's happened because of a lot of people's hard work. Some great philanthropists have stepped up in a major way from the private sector. And whether you are excited about the aesthetic, or the quality of life, or the safety, there's a lot of reasons to be happy about our progress at the Trinity River. So congratulations, City Council, and congratulations, leaders of the Trinity Project. Thank you. With that, I will suggest we move the board from commissions and get that business out of the way.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Agenda item number 34 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You have for your consideration to the Cultural Affairs Commission, Linda L. Rowley, having performing arts experience, is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. To the City Planning and Zoning Commission, Betty Colbert is nominated by Council Member Carroway, and these are individual appointments.
So moved. Your motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Atkins, I'm sorry.
I just want to thank Linda Rowley, you know, for to be serving on the board. It's so often that you have people who want to come and serve as a public servant for free. And she's got her family from here, and And most of the time from Canada. So again, thank you, Linda. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Oslo.
Oh, I was going to go on to
the next. Oh, okay. Great. Start back in the first poll item, Ms. Lee.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. The first poll item is agenda item number 7. I'm sorry, Councilmember Hawthorne, needs to make a motion to the consideration.
Oh, good, thank you. Thank you.
We didn't make Kurt back here. I think she can come out, and I don't know about Mr. Cadena.
Yeah, we had there's a clerical issue, so we
right,
need some housekeeping.
Housekeeping, I need to make a motion to reconsider the consent agenda to include agenda items 32 and 33.
There's a second on that.
No motion.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We will reconsider now.
Then I need to make a motion to approve the entire consent agenda.
And there's a second. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Ms. Hudson.
Thank you. Your actual first pulled item is agenda item number 2, as pulled by Councilmember Atkins. It's authorized number 1, supplemental agreement number 1, to the professional services contract with Recondo and Associates Inc. for on-call airport planning advisors and advisory services for the Dallas airport systems in an amount not to exceed $4,026,791. Number 2, an application for and acceptance of future additional grant reimbursement of $439,725 from the Federal Aviation Administration. And number 3, establishment of appropriations in the amount of $4,026,791 in the Federal Aviation Administration Airport Improvement Grant Fund.
Thank you. Is there a motion, Mr. Atkins?
Yes. Now, of course, I guess AC, I think Mark Peters is here today out on City Business. I just want to bring everyone to attention. You know, we always talk about aviation department, we talk about Love Field, we talk about Dallas at the airport. And for some time, we've been trying to get a master agreement, a plan for Dallas at the airport. And I have a state landing right now. We have someone sitting there writing for grants. We wanted to find that Dallas at the airport had not been in top form while it's so slow. For many, many years, the city of Dallas did not pass someone every day going to find grant money. Other airports, like Arlington, Mesquite, Lancaster, they do write grants for grant money. And we look at down the road, I believe the FAA, you know, had over $16 million left in the city. Because no one is writing those grants. And so I'm thinking that if the Dallas Aviation Department now is recognized that we need someone to write grants, which is not taxpayer money, and which is with our airport and our infrastructure back where it needs to be. And the real way we're doing that, I just want to make sure AC and Lana, thank you for doing this, but will you tell them what this money is used for so people understand that you've got to have this type of money in order to go forward to be a not only a clear but also be a diverse airport.
Yes, sir, thank you. As you just said, in order to be positioned for future federal money and state money for that matter, you have to have the appropriate planning, technical analysis of your pavement as an example, or reviews of the air facilities that we're asking money for. In the past, we have not quite had all these plans up to date. This contract here is going to help move that along quite extensively.
Thank you. With that, I move this forward. For the motion, second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried.
Agenda item number 7 is authorized the purchase, installation, and warranty of 2 extra inspection systems for City Hall located at 1500 Marona Street. Councilmember Grayson for the item.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson?
Thank you, Mayor. I have some questions.
Please.
I think for Mr. Turner.
Of course.
I've had some constituents express to me some concerns about this item. They feel strongly that this is a public building and we should not be making it more difficult for citizens to enter the building and make use of the services within the building. And I think those are some legitimate concerns. I know when we closed off our parking garage a couple of years ago to folks just being able to park there as visitors, unless they got a 24-hour ahead of time approval. I know there were a lot of concerns about that and limiting the access to the garage. So now he's coming with this item where we're going to be closing some of our entrances to City Hall and we're going to be using metal detectors. So could you please explain for us how we're going to approach this? Are we going to be asking them to empty their pockets of all their coins? Are we going to be having women have to stop so their purses could be examined? I mean, how are we going to implement this?
So it's a good question you're asking. This item is actually designed to not have that be the case. Our intent is to have these scanners so that security personnel can do a quick scan and not have to start carrying in items into the building. So that's all it takes.
So if the personnel that are stationed at these two scanners see something that raises their suspicion, like what, the shape of a gun versus somebody carrying a lot of change in their pocket or their purse, because that's a lot of metal.
Yeah, those are two good examples. In fact, what we're doing is having our security personnel work with the Dallas Police Department for training on these scanners to actually get trained on what to look for, how to quickly determine whether it's a problem, and then deal with it. And the rule is just to deal with it such that the patron or the citizen doesn't know that we're examining it.
They know they're going to walk through a metal detector.
They know they're going to walk through an X-ray system, but they don't know that we're visually just looking at their bag and not have to spend a lot of time searching their property.
Okay, so you say an X-ray system.
Yes.
So it's not going to be a traditional metal detector that we walk
They'll just walk through it, and the visual image will come up on the screen for the personnel, and we'll move quickly through that system. That's our goal.
And so is the idea here that we close off those doorways from the parking garage that lets you get into the parking garage and then up into the building, and we close off all of the street level entrances except two?
The idea is to go from some 20 entry points to Dallas City Hall to a primary entry point of two.
Which would be what? The two that are on the back of the building where the hosty parking is?
At this time, the effort is to have it to south side of the building for a number of reasons. One, primarily access for wheelchair accessible and then folks who need it and have to get into the building. And also proximity to the parking lot and the hosty parking lot and the immediate parking in the south of the building.
No, I'm just thinking, I go in and out of suburban city halls occasionally, and I don't remember having anything like that at any of them. Are we kind of in the vanguard here? Are we going to be among the first to restrict this access and have people go through metal detectors?
We won't be in the vanguard, if you will, but we will be going to cities like Houston, San Antonio, and Austin, where the goal is to have citizens come into the city hall and do it in a way that's quick and easy, and really easy for the citizens.
Okay. Well, not as easy as it is now. But
That's correct.
Think I just wanted to express that there are some people concerned about this in terms of they just feel as a public building that we shouldn't make things harder for people to access us and our services. But that said, thank you for answering the questions and all the information. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gates and Ms. Carroll.
Thank you, Mayor, and follows other people say. The first responsibility that I feel personally we have is for the safety of our citizens. And someone coming here to City Hall maybe to just pay taxes or pay a water bill should not have any fear of violence at all. And the way it's going now, we never know who is doing or capable of doing what on any particular day. So my thought
first is to make sure that the people of the city, and all people, women and the children, are as safe as we can possibly make them. I think it is no different from Dallas County. When you go into Luke Ferris building, the Dallas County Courthouse, everyone that goes through that, to include the lawyers and anybody that's going into that building, you know that there is a feeling of safety there, even though you can never just dot every single line. But certainly there are buildings currently that we have to go through and that citizens go through. That they have to go through the security check. Under the auspices of what is currently happening in the country and the world, fools are everywhere, and you never know who's going to be the fool of the day. It is our responsibility to make sure that we're doing every single thing that we possibly can. Folks will do all types of things to fool the public as to what they're doing, only to go and hold the public hostage. I commend what they're doing. And certainly it's going to irritate some people, and some of the people with some of the comments, they don't even come to the house. Some of them don't. So they'll never even have to ever experience going through this. But they do have a right to voice their opinion. And we have a responsibility to do every single thing we can to make it safe here. So when people come, when kids come here on field trip, they will be safe. When we come into this building, when our employees come into this building, they will be safe. And if it takes going through and having to have to wave yourself through, if you don't have a problem, then you have nothing to worry about. As long as there are no long lines of people trying to get into, to gain access, I have not a problem with it. But if it is something that we need to do under the umbrella of the current conditions of the mindset of some people in this world, we are doing the right thing. And I support that wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carroll. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. Of course, one of the two explanations is any kind of structure. Exception B. Where would they be at located at?
Well, at this current time, our plan is to have them stationed at the south entrance of Dallas City Hall. So what we commonly refer to as the horseshoe, which is south of the building.
By the water department, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Will it be one there and the one or the other one?
Well, I intended to have both stationed there.
Okay.
So that's the main, the primary entrance, as we call it.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And as you're coming downstairs on L1, will it be there from the visitors parking where they park at on Wednesday? So they move along.
These are designed to be permanent installations. But your comment about L1 is an important one. What we have set up there is that anyone that's going to be parking, as you call it, visitors. We've already vetted those folks through your office and through everyone's office to make sure that you expect them to be coming to your office.
Mm-hmm.
So they go through that vetting, and so we don't plan to have x-rays set up there. If there are folks who say they're coming to visit and they're not on your list, they don't get into the building that in that way.
Okay. And I have one more question. The x-ray, if they have... you're looking for perhaps any type of weapon that that person may have on them if they were to start coming to this building.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis and Mr. Atkins. Father, do you know what the timeline from this is going to start?
Well, when we get this item approved, the timeline is to move as quickly as possible.
What as quickly as possible?
Well, I don't have a specific date
yet. The reason why I asked that question is we're going to do this. I think we need to educate the public and so people know, I'm worried about the people who are in Wallabia.
This
girl's on the first floor, now moving to the second floor.
Yeah.
I think the public should know the interest, where they need to enter the building at. So, I just know we should know to educate the citizens so they know, how to enter.
Guys,
we look around at what's happening in this world,
right,
and we are responsible for you and the 2,000 employees and hundreds of citizens coming here every day. And I know it's a little bit more trouble, but I don't want to be the one explaining why we didn't take the effort that we needed to. And we didn't educate and get as much of this information out as we possibly can, but I feel some urgency regarding protecting the people that we're responsible for, and I know you do too, and that's law, and that's employees, that citizens that come in here, so...
And that's why we're saying though, you know, that when we pass the item, you know, are we going to sit around, wait 2 or 3 months, or whatever, and
right,
I think the public, and we should know that when we pass something, when you're going to do it. I mean, I hate to pass something we don't know. And so this is very important, especially the citizens, the employees, the people that water there, they like there. Do we need to know? You know, I just kind of passionate about when are we going to be safe? When are we going to do it?
We'll get the time on right away.
We'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins, and Ms. Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Turner, thank you for your standing here and taking the question. Ms. Storm, if we can get this in tomorrow, that would be one day less than I'd like it to be. I would like this done as soon as possible. And Ms. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem, I accept your wanting the public to be educated, but the public can be educated afterwards. When they come down here, they will figure out what they need to do. This is not news. Every day that I go down to the party, to the courthouse or to the jail, as Mr. Taylor mentioned, I have to go through the same thing. There are controlled entrances to those buildings. I think we have far too much access to this building right now. I stay here late almost every day when I'm at city council or working at city hall. I'm here late. And I feel some trepidation when I leave the office, because there are so many entrances and so many places where people could get in and be hiding. So, Michelle, you can't get fast enough for me. I am the only mother my baby has. So let's get this done yesterday. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. Any other comments? Hearing none. Excuse me, I don't know. Do we not have a motion on this? We have a motion and a second there. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now to item number 22, authorized the quit claim of 98 properties acquired by the taxing authorities from the sheriff's sale to the highest bidder. This item was collected on the agenda and has been pulled by council member Taylor.
Entertain a motion, Mr. Taylor.
Yes, I'd like to have a comment for this man. I'm going to make a motion to approve. But I need to see Keith Brown and Tom Perkins and Ronnie Nita and Joy Zapata, Jerry Killingworth, if possible, and AC. If y'all could just please run it down. And there, this is very, very significant and important. It really is. For where we're getting ready to go with this. I am going to make a motion to move approval on this item, but there's some clarity and some things that I think that we need to bring to light and ask a few questions on as we deal with this situation. Everybody here, that's good. The problem that I have, and I'll address it, and then we'll try to see where we go from here. These properties are bidded on, and Ryan has told me that there's somewhat of a background check of what we're doing. Some of the concerns that I have, and I think you hear from Ms. Davis, is we know what Habitat is doing. We know what Habitat is doing, because when Habitat acquires property, they're going to build a house, okay? These folks are, and they have the right to bid on these properties, and they're all up in tax foreclosures, but do we know what the intent is for the use of this property? Do they buy this property as investment property and hold on to it? Well, we know, and using Habitat in a positive way, we know that Habitat
For example, in other Cholos and other folks, they're going to build a home immediately on that property, whereas some of these people that are acquiring these properties are holding on to them for investment purposes. They are going to just hold on to it for the next 10, 15 years and do nothing with. Do we have guidelines in place that will tell us what the intent of the use of this property is going to be, or do they continue to just acquire it and sit on it, and it still plagues the community, code enforcement still goes by there? Are some of these owners, are some of these folks that are building on these properties, do they have other properties? And if they have other properties, are the properties that they have acquired and the properties that they own, are they fully up to code? Or are we allowing someone who's violating code to acquire new properties that they will continue to violate both code concerns and continue the plague that we have? These are concerns long term that I think that at some point I would like, we even got all that down there, so we can figure it out. And not figure it out today. I'm going to move approval on this and hopefully we will continue. But we have there are some concerns that I have as relates to, are we doing the right and all of the necessary things on the front end to help prevent some of these concerns and bring these to a level of knowing exactly what's going to happen. Also, Mayor, I'll say this. This council, we've been plagued with boarding houses. So now, are these people, and do we have restrictions in place that these properties will not be able to become boarding houses because some of these very people, and how many of these people on this list currently own boarding houses? And are they acquiring these houses and these properties at these reduced prices to open up additional boarding houses that we already cannot control? And the reason I asked for the chief, and I didn't see him, but AC, you're here. How many of these have been drug houses and have had police concerns and problems? And these are a lot of concerns. We approve this thing all the time. Mm-hmm. Are we happy that money is coming into our coffers and because we're getting this off the tax foreclosure list? But if we're continuing to just approve something that's still continuing to be a problem for us, then we need to close those gaps. So, Mayor, what other point that we could discuss these items that I'm concerned about? Not today. Let's approve this. Let them move with this. But I would like for us to have some type of collective briefing as relates to the loopholes that we can close that will prevent boarding houses, code violators, and other activities that are creating problems for our neighborhood. And it is a responsibility for us to be to our neighbors to let them know what's coming. Mm-hmm. And they're already sitting there with a rain house and somebody bid on it and you know, there's all of the other concerns with it and we don't know. If it were Habitat and some of the other positive Cholos and developers, we know. But right here today when we're about to approve, we don't know nothing about what's coming there. And we have a responsibility, I have a responsibility to my community to make sure that they know that if a new owner in town, he's going to sit on this house, or you can expect for something to occur where it's going to bring about a family and little kids home or something. So that's my rant on this, and that's my position. I'm going to move approval in advance, but I wanted to stop at future points so we come back and get together and to get a better handle on who these people are.
Thank you. We have a motion to your second. Second.
I'm sorry. One other last thing is very important. And while we are going through this check, make sure, Mayor, that the heirs of these properties is very important because, you know, what we run into is that we can't find the people that are the heirs of it. So these owners have heirs, and the heirs may be everywhere.
so they need to be up front with that. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not going to interrupt you again.
That's all right. Thank you. And I will ask Ms. Davis, not only speak, but I think she can take this matter up in the Housing Committee as well.
Yes. I've been pulling my agendas off of the foreclosure list for about 2 years now.
Excuse me?
About 2 years, off and on. This has been a problem that I saw about 2 years ago when I started noticing. So far, I went back and added up all the foreclosed properties since 07, since I've been on the council, they've been sold, and it's been about 237, just in District 7. And that's a lot. And today, just in District 7, 29 properties that have been ready to be sold on the foreclosed list. You know, those are a lot of properties. And that can happen. It can justify a neighborhood. If you're not careful, it can take over a neighborhood. And you look up, you got a whole lot of investors who have invested in your neighborhood, and you know nothing about it. And so when you start looking at neighborhoods not the South Valley, there's no more control in neighborhoods. Because you start taking these names, Mr. Caraway, and you're looking at the highest bidder, and if they're smart enough, then they'll buy a whole block or a whole street. And when the cases start and start and start, and then you have no control of your neighborhood anymore. So, I mean, these things can happen. It's different. So, but I think I would like all 29 of mine until we have a meeting in the housing department. And my business, Carolyn, you can move yours forward, because this is an alarming rate, because if you add up, it's almost 30. I think the things that we need to look at, for example, there's a house on Dunbar that was on the foreclosure list. That house has been, and Ms. Rashford called me back at least once a month about this particular house, and it's still sitting there that someone purchased. It's raining, and they have sit on that house almost 2 years without fixing it up. And that's a clear example of what's happening. I went back and looked at some of the houses that were sold on the foreclosure list, because I keep my pocket. Not one of them have been fixed up. They're just still there. Nothing has happened. No improvement has happened. So I think that we need to look at the application. I think we need to redo the application. Sometimes the application process, what do you plan to do with the house? And we'll talk about that, as the mayor said, in the housing committee. I don't know this that long. I think we need Jerry, as this time in line to the housing committee. I want us to look at something that we can ensure that these individuals are going to reinvest back into our neighborhoods and make them livable again, if we can. So, if we can, I would like to pull my 29 and then move forward with the other one.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Well, if we can, one of my colleagues asked, can we just hold all the items until, which is the item, it is all of it, item 22, but.
Hold on just a second. So, Mr. Taylor, you made the motion. What do you
Well, we can do that. I was asking the city manager, we don't want to do anything that will hurt the process. And if we have an if we could be allowed to pull item 22 and bring it back to housing and bring it back.
Mr. Taylor, I think that's an appropriate motion. There are a lot of questions here. This comes up every 2 years.
Okay.
And we need to explain the controls and limitations as well as what we can do. And so, yes, we'll
draw that motion and
we'll bring it back to the point for a basing of
okay.
So, you pull that motion off the table. Your motion is what, Mr. Taylor?
Our motion now is to bring this item 22 back to housing. And then after we had it out in houses, we'll bring it back.
Can Ms. Davis second this way? Thank you. We'll have a motion second tomorrow on that item. Anything else, Ms. Davis?
Yes.
Okay, you're right. Ms. Hopper.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we're all taking this back to housing. All I was going to add was that, you know, many times we're accused of the right hand not knowing what the left hand's doing here at City Hall.
and I want to be sure that we include code enforcement into this process, because they're the ones that end up getting our calls when these houses go into dilapidation. So we've got to be sure that we include code enforcement on Joey's group to let us know what the real deal is. And I know that, you know, Bonnie, you're one person, and to try to understand what's happening with every single address is just impossible. So I want to be sure that you add code enforcement to this discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hoffman, Mr. Atkins. I know people are told to answer questions. When we set up the foreclosure, what is the season, what is the number of bills that you accept on these properties?
We start with a detail as the minimum, and then it depends on how many times we try to sell the property. If the property doesn't sell, we will reduce it. We will continue to reduce it, but typically we start at the detail value.
Okay. For example, you got a detail value of $30,000, mm-hmm. and the number of deals is $3,000.
That means it's probably been attempted to sell it several times.
So how do we know that this had been attempted to sell to be sold several times when we look at this?
We have a list. We keep a spreadsheet of all the properties and how many times we've tried to sell them.
And who did?
Some of these is one property on the list that we've taken to seven different sales. One property we've taken.
Do we have that information? Or I don't have it in my pocket. I just curious. Is that the violet to the council?
Yes, we provide you a spreadsheet that looks.
I got a spreadsheet that don't say how many times.
Oh, you say number of sales.
Number of bids?
Uh-huh, number of sales.
Okay.
Oh no, I'm sorry, that's number of bids.
Number of bids, right?
Right. So, I think I don't know that we did give it to you.
Well, in my district, you know, I'm just saying that I'm just looking at, you know, what is detail value, what is the minimum bid. You know, if I look at detail of $30,000 and someone bought it for $3,000, you know, I was driving in the blind, what happened to do my due diligence? And maybe that they did not know. But do we hire a special broker to do these now on our foreclosure?
Typically, these are done in house. We do take some of them to our auction.
Are these done in house?
These are done in house.
But Charlotte, I just want, when they go to housing, I would like to see, you know, look at the beginning of the detail value, what is the minimum bid, how many times that it has been offered to sell, why and who are buying and what you're saying to buy. Because I'm looking at, if we got property value at $3 million and we sell it, you know, for $3,000 or $100,000, it's got to be accepted and keep it in the market's right.
And sometimes we do that.
Okay, and we just need to just find it. Okay, thank you very much.
But we'll give you the whole process.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Pagano, we'll come back for second round.
Thank you. And I know that Ms. Sentiment, I know that we're going to bring it back to housing, but perhaps adding another column where code then either gives us, you know, the exact or, you know, that they've sent, you know, a notification for violation, some kind of a legend there for us. Tomorrow, and then you have the questions from the housing department as to what we need to do with this. Is it set to demolition or is it a good demolition at that point? So you won't have those continuing problems for years and years. But just maybe another call.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. John, myself.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Next, the additional services.
Please.
Council member. I'm going to vote against the motion to send it back to housing, not because I don't want you to have in the rest of the council to have an opportunity for whole discussion. However, I don't see what's accomplished by that. These properties are foreclosed, and they're going to be foreclosed, and they need to be sold. And there is only so much that the city can do, or which I think is happening. This is circumscribed by state law. And so I'm ready to move forward
So for that reason, I'm going to vote against the motion, but I need to see them stand around. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
And council members, and that's fine, because I'll be against it, but there's a lot of concerns and questions, especially in inner city communities where there are so many other problems. And the question is, they purchase it, and they sit another 3 years, so they haven't fixed the problem. It's still a problem. So we're just trying to come up with some things to make the problem better. For example, there's a couple houses that was on the 08 foreclosed list that some individuals purchased. Those houses still sitting there, and that's been 3 years now. So that's what we need to take it back. Thank you so much.
All right, we have a motion.
I just want to know, because I was just a little bit confused about if a house is in decay and can't be rehabbed, and you don't think it's going to take that, there's going to be social violations, and they've walked away from it, and now we finally come to the point where we're going to sell the property. Is there not something in the clause that says that they have to tear it down? I mean, do they come about evaluation right now? I'm just a little bit confused, because I'm hearing two different things.
We do a staff internal evaluation, and we check with code to find out which ones need to be demolished. About a third of these properties have homes on them, about two-thirds are vacant lots. And so there is a thorough kind of staff vetting of the properties before we offer them to sell. But there's three things that kind of refresh.
Well, if the house is in decay and can't be rehabbed, and we've taken over the property, we demolish the house. Is that correct?
Yes.
At least two-thirds of them are just vacant lots in their own houses, and the ones that are really bad, the houses are demolished by the city before they're sold as excess property. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cook. So we have a motion and a second to defer this and turn it back to the Housing Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? One opposed. Motion is carried.
Item number 28 is an ordinance granting a private license to DG Brookview Partners Limited for a total of approximately 3,184 square feet of land to install and maintain landscaping on portions of Beckley Avenue near its intersection with Morgan Street. This item was pulled by Councilman Grayson.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Gray.
Move approval.
The motion is second. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I told this item to draw attention to it. It's about paying a one-time $1,000 fee plus a $20 ordinance publication fee for someone to install and maintain landscaping. And that's all fine and good, but the reason I told it is, like I said, to draw attention to the fact that apparently several years ago this council enacted a one-time fee instead of people having to pay $1,000 every single year that they held this license. And I think that's an excellent step in the right direction that you all did that. But I had a recent concern raised from someone in my district who believes they're still paying that $1,000 annual fee every single year. So I asked the staff to look into it, and they volunteered. But I just wanted to say to anybody out there with an HOA or any owner that has a license fee that may somehow inadvertently or by error still be paying $1,000 every year for this, please contact the council office or somebody on the staff at City Hall, and they will correct that situation. Because I've asked that staff contact this particular HOA in order to make sure that they know they don't have to continue paying that $1,000 fee. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Gregg.
Thank you. I share the concerns of my colleague, and my understanding that the Quality of Life Committee may be taking this issue up soon about charging for a public space and looking at the momentum program. So thank you for your time. Move approval.
We have motion and second for approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Commissioner, we're now proceeding to several eminent domain items. And that is items number 34 through 41. I'm sorry, 35 through 41. The city, and with the permission of the city council, I will read those items first into the record. And then if any council member wants to consider any of the items separately, that item will be pulled and voted on separately.
Yeah, so we've decided to take them all in one, yes. Right? Okay, thank you.
Okay, item number 35 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from New Marcos Inc. a tract of land containing approximately 3,466 square feet of land located at 1601 Park Hill Road near the intersection of Park Hill Road and Interstate Highway 30 in City of Dallas, Block 7192, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described it in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for street improvements to Park Hill Road. Item number 36 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the park eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Ruth A. Hedges Grandchildren's Trust a tract of land containing approximately 12,714 square feet of land located at 2828 Park Hill Road near the intersection of Park Hill Road and Civilton Boulevard in City of Dallas, Block 7193, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed resolution for this item, the street improvement to Park Hill Road. Item number 37 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Charlotte Skinner Kaufman a tract of land containing approximately 18,881 square feet of land located at 11906 Larry Crest Drive in City of Baltimore, Excel 1348, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of one or more pipelines for the transmission of treated water together with such of the tenant facilities as may be necessary. Item number 38 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Jesse Foster and Patricia Foster a tract of land containing approximately 4,002 square feet of land located at 11411 Sierhan Freeway near the intersection of Sierhan and Seabrook Road in City of Dallas, Block 8795, Dallas County, Texas, and lawfully described in Exhibit A of the proposed resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of one or more pipelines for the transmission of treated water together with such appropriate facilities as may be necessary. Item number 39 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Chuck Wiley a tract of land containing approximately 36,547 square feet of land located at 13700 Interstate Highway 20 near the intersection of Interstate Highway 20 and Quiet Ridge Drive in City of Dallas, Block 8833, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of one or more pipelines for the transmission of treated water together with such appropriate facilities as may be necessary. Item number 40 requires the motion of the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Charles L. Rowley a tract of land containing approximately 46,202 square feet of land located at 13600 Cleveland Road near the intersection of Interstate Highway 20 and Tate Road in City of Dallas, Block D, 8833, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed joint resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of one or more pipelines for the transmission of treated water together with such appropriate facilities as may be necessary. Item number 41 requires the motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Joseph F. Edwards, Susan F. Edwards, Susan K. Edwards, Donna J. Harper, and Cynthia G. Stotwell, a tract of land containing approximately 296,438 square feet of land located at 13918 Lassiter Road near the intersection of Interstate Highway 20 and Lassiter Road in City of Dallas, Block 8837, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of one or more pipelines for the transmission of treated water together with such appropriate facilities as may be necessary. Items number 35 to 41 will roll into the record. Are there any council members that would like to hear any of those items for individual consideration? A record vote is required.
I need a motion.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
The motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote.
Okay, please start voting. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Councilmember Hunt, Margolin, Davis, Casa, Mayor Rawlings, Councilmember Alonzo, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmember Grayson, Briggs, Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Councilmember Hill. Absent on. Ms. Cooper, can you please state your vote on the record? Councilmember Keith is also voting in favor.
Yes.
And Councilmember Carraway is also voting in favor. Councilmember Allen is absent on city business. Absent and vote taken is Councilmember Cadane. Mr. Mayor, the motion is carried.
Thank you.
The following statement applies to items number 42 through 48. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable in both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Items number 42 and 43 need to be considered collectively. Item number 42 is authorized number 1, a development agreement with Fairfield Investment Company, LLC, to dedicate future TIF revenues for reimbursement of eligible project costs related to environmental remediation and demolition, public infrastructure improvement, and affordable housing for the Fairfield at Ross Development Project, 302 North Houston Street, located in Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone 5, City Center TIF District, and number 2, the City Center TIF District Board of Directors to dedicate an amount not to exceed $5,500,000 from future City Center TIF District revenues in accordance with the development agreement. Number 43, a resolution declaring the intent of Tax Increment Financing District Reinvestment Zone number 5, City Center TIF District, to reimburse Fairfield Investment Company, LLC, up to $5,500,000, of which $2,452,850 is in the form of a TIF grant for TIF-eligible project costs pursuant to the development agreement with Fairfield Investment Company, LLC. This item does require 2 seconds.
Hey, go ahead, say motion is stated.
Thank you, Mayor. I just have one or two questions. I'm going to move to move forward for approval.
You got approval? Well, I'll do that for a second. You have 2 seconds.
Second.
You have 2 seconds form, okay. Thank you.
Ryan, can you come forward to me? And Carl Reese. I have a question. When it comes to the TIF board, I have the Grand Park side, and it says position 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Why do we need so many positions for, just for example, the Grand Park side? Because I got 3 people that's going through the process now, so why do we need so many people?
Well, there's a minimum requirement of 5 for each TIF board. And I think each TIF, they have different, and their bylaws have different numbers, and so I think they probably had 6 in the original bylaws with the Grand Park Trust 6.
So why do you need so many individuals?
Well, you just need to have a minimum of 5 so that you can have a quorum.
Okay. And I see that some positions have been 2. Why do some of them, like the Oakland Gateway, is only 2? Why do they only need 2 individuals?
Yes, I think what that means is that there are 2 vacant positions, that there are other people filling the other positions, but there are 2 vacant positions, and it's just making council members aware that there are some vacancies if they should choose to fill them.
So the one called staff needs six in order to make a quorum of five.
It needs five. It needs a minimum of five, but the individual bylaws, I think, provide it for six, but you don't have to have six. You have to have a minimum of five.
Okay, but the city secretary, you need to make a note of that because they tell me that I have to have five. So it's not that I have to have six on this particular board. So it's really five I can have.
I believe you have to have five in order to be able to process this.
Okay, so we need to make a note of that, Madam Secretary. The other thing I wanted to ask, because I'm really trying to get this started, if there's money in the TIF and someone comes and applies for the TIF, you have to have the board in place before you can apply for any of the money.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, do the mayor select the chair and the vice chair, or do the council member select the chair and the vice chair, or do they do it once the committee comes
in? I believe the mayor appoints the chair. Probably want to get consultation. The mayor selects the chair, ratified by council, and then the board selects the vice chair.
Okay, so on this sheet here that I pulled from the city secretary's office, the mayor then has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 individuals that he needs to select as chair and vice chair to the chair, because all of them vacant for now. Have y'all talked to the mayor on this?
No.
All right, so what are we saying? What's happening?
On this TIF board, and I'm trying to fill my vacancies right now, and you got 9 chairs that are vacant and 9 vice chairs.
So the people are on it, but we haven't appointed the chair?
No, we haven't appointed anybody. So you got to appoint yours while I'm trying to finish this year's chair.
So, I will take it up with my office.
Okay, then. Okay, one second question, yes, because I'm really, really trying to get mine. But once these individuals are selected, then what do they meet at?
Well, they generally will meet when they have topics to discuss. For example, if they take Grand Park South, mm-hmm. they would have a meeting to approve the annual report, do any bylaw amendments that need to be done, and then to take up any applications for individual projects within the district.
Now, the money, for example, on a grand and mathematics, you got the new school going up, you got the new Social Security Administration, you got the hall development, hopefully, you know, that's coming. How would that money generate back into that particular TIF?
Well, in many cases, I mean, if there's a federal government building registry, you aren't able to generate tax increment there. Mm-hmm. The Hall project would generate tax increment, and any private sector development would generate increment. And sometimes, if a neighborhood starts to improve, well, you also get appreciation of value in the property. So it can be some investment, and it can be some general appreciation of value.
And so, as long term, what about complete streets? Okay, so that's a bond that we're talking about, and we're talking about complete streets and putting those type of things back into a neighborhood. How does that help with a TIF?
The street itself doesn't help.
Oh, okay.
It's the improvement value of the property adjacent to the street that does help, and the investments that go along with the complete streets. That does create increment that we're going to do.
Okay, so it's the investment of rehab, perhaps.
Yeah, rehab, new construction along the complete street.
Okay, that will bring money back into. Now, once that is finished, then the individual can come in if they are doing a development. Because one of the developers was trying to get money from the TIF, couldn't get money from this Grand Park South TIF because we didn't have members on the board of the committee to get the money. So once so much money has been invested, then there's enough money for businesses to come and ask for money from the TIF. Am I right?
Well, let's see. Every year we have to, each trip has an annual report, and it will talk about the increment that has been generated in the previous year and how much cash is actually on hand.
Okay.
So if someone comes in with a project, as you're seeing with some today, and they make that application, they can see more or less when they might be able to receive that reimbursement, because the TIF can only make reimbursement if it has money in the bank to pay.
Right. Then you got, you know, what is the TOD TIF? And that's really important, because if that's the TOD, well, all the claims that which are my district, the Caraway district, some of Mr. Atkins district. Now, do we carry that to the person? Do I put a person? Do you? How do that work?
Yeah, you would, could you tell me again? I'm not sure I understand your question.
It says the TOD, RU17 TIF, and it says position vacant is 5, 6, 7, 8, and 4. I didn't understand what the are you talking about.
That means that there are probably 4 vacant positions on that TIF board that could be filled by any council member. Really.
Okay, so for the TOD, which is real important, because I have one in mind, Ms. Taylor has one in his, Mr. Atkins has one by UNT.
Yeah.
And I think you have one. So even though I have a grand part size TIF, can I still appoint someone to the TOD?
Absolutely. We would encourage that.
Okay.
We have a difficult time. It's difficult to keep qualified volunteers actively engaged with these TIFs, so we really welcome that involvement.
Yeah, I think Carl, I think these TIFs are real important. As we start to see tax base increase, that you push us to find people to sit on these TIF boards, especially the chair and vice chair, especially at the TOD TIF. Now, what about the OPIF TIF? I did not see this on this particular item. Is that OPIF TIF?
OPIF TIF has a quorum. They may have, I think they may have one or two openings, but they have a quorum. They have two openings, but they have a quorum enough to make a quorum.
Okay, is that through the Oakland Chamber of Commerce?
No, well, the Oakland Chamber of Commerce may have some interest, but they don't have any formal ties to that too.
Okay, so for me right now would be the Grand Park South TIF and the TOD TIF, and then you got the Davis Garden TIF. You got a lot of TIFs that needs some provision. Now, what's the sports area TIF? What is that sports
area? Well, the sports arena TIF is over, and we talked about that earlier this year. It's Victory,
mm-hmm.
And it also includes West Dallas. We expanded that TIF to include West Dallas.
Okay, so when you have zero, it means that it has what?
That means there's 4.
Okay, but it just don't have a TIF.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Davis, and Jackson. Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say that the Farfield, Rossfield came to Economic Development, and we did in the past that it's going to be 278 units there, and 28 going to be affordable. But one great thing the amenity is doing is we have a rooftop pool, 2 outdoor courtyard, a golf park, indoor fitness, and a club room. And so you kind of learn about the tip. You know, this project is a return on investment. If they didn't have enough return investment without a tip, they probably would not do the project. So with a tip, it's helping investment. So that's one great thing that, you know, we've done. Make sure that we do have a tip in place. I just want to make sure that my colleague, Pauline Medrano, just a great amenity. She can talk about the distance which close to northeastern and Rolf and how they're going to open that up. It was, the project cost about $44 million, so I'm going to pass to Pauline, and you can speak more about it, Pauline, for that. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. And a colleague, this presently is used for a surface parking, as Mr. Deputy Mayor Clay Tim Atkins mentioned. It is a $44 million project.
It's going to be bring about 400 people living in the West End, and we all know the West End retail and restaurants really needs that boost. It is less than one block from the transit station here at the West End. I think, as you mentioned, you know, there's a dog park, there's green spaces. We also work in the city design studio, so a lot of the orientation of development will be, you know, facing outward, and we'll have a lot of pedestrian movement there. I mean, to me, it's at least probably four short blocks from the new Main Street and Science Museum, American Airlines, the West End, and of course, a half a block from Dealey Plaza, and we're doing so much there. So I think it's a great development, and Mr. Acton did brief it in the Economic Development Committee, and it was voted recommended unanimously. So I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me just say this, I say yes. These two of our things are really important if they can reinvest back into our neighborhoods. And there's lots of dollars. It goes down to 42 and 43. That's just a good example of what the TIF has done in those particular areas for us reinvesting back into our neighborhood. And these are not small amounts that has just been approved. These are large dollar amounts on this TIF. So if what about the Lancaster TIF? It's not on here. But is there a Lancaster TIF as well?
Well, the TIF that covers Lancaster is the TOD TIF.
Okay.
And we structured it so that we combined that with an area up in Lovers Lane and Mockingbird, because we felt that that area could share part of its increment with Lancaster to help stimulate projects in Lancaster.
Okay, so the Lancaster TIF is a part of TOD TIF, and
that's
so we
right.
Want to get those positions filled. Because in looking at this, and I went back and looked at the money, it's a lot of money. This is a lot of money sitting here, and we have nobody at any of these doors. And so I just think it's just, and I'm going to work really hard to get the Grand Park South TIF, because we have some money into that TIF right now that people can borrow off of. And I think the other one is the TOD TIF that I will work with my colleagues on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Dana.
Thank you, Mayor. And the complete project should be completed by the end of 2015.
Thank you. Right, Ms. Davis? Yeah, thank you. Okay, any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
3 now to item number 44. This item will also require 2 seconds. Authorize an amendment to the development agreement with Victory Park UFC Joint Venture 1, LP, and tax increment financing and investment zone number 11, downtown Connecticut 5th District, for reimbursement of costs related to planning efforts related to parking, vehicular and pedestrian circulation, placemaking and retail design for the Victory Sub-District of tax increment financing and investment zone 7, Sports Arena TIF District 2, number 1, increase TIF reimbursement to an amount not to exceed $700,000 in the form of a TIF grant from future Victory Sub-District Sports Arena TIF District revenue, and number 2, provide reimbursement for phase 1 of the study prior to completion of phase 2 of the study if and when TIF increment is available to do so in accordance with the amended development agreement.
Very good. I entertain a motion. A motion is second.
2 seconds.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 45 also requires 2 seconds. Authorize a second amendment to the development agreement with GSD Opportunity 2 LLC. In tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 16, Davis Garden TIF District 2, number 1, extend the deadline to obtain design review approval for the Hillside West project final renovation to physical elements and the quality of its building material from April 12, 2012 to October 12, 2012. And number two, specify the project's outstanding TIF obligation is intended to be reimbursed out of the Davis Fund TIF District Affordable Housing set aside funds based on the ratio of cumulative individual increments of the project to the sum of all the cumulative individual increments generated by projects eligible for reimbursement from the Affordable Housing set aside for a given year. This item is in the call to the second.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman. Motion, Mr. Griggs.
Move approval.
Got a motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 46 also requires 2 seconds. Authorize a second amendment to the development agreement with GFD Opportunity 1 LLC and tax increment financing and investment zone number 16, Davis Farm TIF District 2. Number 1, reduce the Taylor Farm Project affordable housing units from 160 affordable housing units to 104 affordable housing units. And number 2, specify the project's outstanding TIF obligation is intended to be reimbursed out of the Davis Farm TIF District Affordable Housing Set Aside Fund based on the ratio of cumulative individual increment of the project to the sum of all the cumulative individual increment generated by projects eligible for reimbursement from the Affordable Housing Set Aside for a given year.
Thank you, Ms. Gregg.
Move approval.
Yeah, no second. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 47 also requires 2 seconds. Authorize a second amendment to the development agreement with the Tesla Theater LLC and tax increment financing and investment zone number 16, Davis Farm TIF District 2. Number 1, divide the project into two phases that are eligible for TIF reimbursement upon the completion and verification that the city's conditions for reimbursement have been satisfied. Number 2, extend the completion deadline for all required environmental remediation and demolition activities at the project site from July 1, 2012. To July 1, 2013. Number 3, extend the completion deadline for all historical facade improvements at the project site from July 1, 2012 to December 31, 2013. Number 4, extend the deadline to complete all streetscape improvements along West Davis Street and North Franklin Avenue and obtain a certificate of acceptance for these and other infrastructure improvements that are funded by reimbursement from the TIF funds or are located in the public right-of-way from July 1, 2012 to December 31, 2014. Number 5, extend the deadline to execute and fund an operating and maintenance agreement for non-standard public improvements associated with the project from July 1, 2012 to December 31, 2014. And number 6, extend the deadline to lease 50% of the theater's commercial and office space from July 1, 2012 to December 31, 2013.
Thank you, Mr. Gregg.
Move approval.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 48 is authorized number 1, preliminary adoption of substantial amendment number 18 to the fiscal year 2012-2013 action plan for the reconstruction share program to establish a reconstruction share activity and reallocate $400,000 from the major system repair program activity to the reconstruction share program. And number 2, a public hearing to be held on February 27, 2013 to receive comments on the proposed use of funds. This item just requires 2 seconds.
A motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes the items this morning.
Thank you. I had a couple of I had somebody, if somebody's listening in my office, if you can hear the what I need. Thank you. Ms. Todd, can you say something?
Please. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it was day before yesterday I got to attend the Dallas Museum of Art and their dedication to the citizens of Dallas and not having either a membership fee any longer and opening up with no admission fee. I think that's tremendous, and I hope that the citizens of Dallas take advantage of that and get to the Dallas Museum of Art and enjoy that. We just want to tip our hat to them. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I will add that rarely does a city this size have a public art museum. I mean, a lot of them are private, but that building is public, and now it is access to the public for it. So, Ms. Hoffman.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I do want to ask that, continuing our discussion on violence and following up on our task force thing that we had last Thursday, which was very well attended. We will be having a candlelight vigil tonight. We'll be reading the names of the victims that have deceased. We will have two victims who will talk about their stories. We have seals and a couple of pastors. So I just want to let everybody know that starts at 6 o'clock at City Hall Plaza, and we'd love to have you there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Elton.
Yes, Mayor, I just like to tell the council and the city that I got a chance to meet Dr. Oz over the weekend at Southwest Haven, and they did a 1,000 examination, you know, for health in this area, and they're going all around all the cities to try to find out where's the best city to live in. They found out that, you know, the city of Dallas is need to have some more fitness, and what we're trying to do is an encore. They told me to reach out to you, Mike, and Dr. Oz, that he want to be a partnership with the city of Dallas to save the world. There are five different things, like blood pressure, such long, how do you reverse that? All of those things can be reversed if you have a healthy diet. We kind of talk about, you know, the grocery store, that what can we make sure that we got the right type of nutrition in different grocery stores and cut down to the school and in the vending machine. I think that he is reaching out to the city of Dallas, and Mike, you need to reach out back to him, and I think he's going to get you off for the city of Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McDonald.
Thank you, Mayor. All of us received a memo yesterday where the city of Dallas has received the 2012 Gold Leadership Circle Award for the newly launched financial transparency website. On our homepage, and all you do is go to the homepage and go to the latest news and announcements. So congratulations, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor.
Thank you, Mayor. This weekend was a fantastic weekend with our Martin Luther King parade, and Monday was just fantastic, that parade as well. I wanted to just say that and thank everybody, and just thank everybody for participating with the parade this weekend. Also, started on yesterday, the National Guards are back in town. And on yesterday in Ms. Davis's district, the National Guard knocked down a record of 4 houses in one day. So they're over in Ms. Davis's district again today. And we're going to get up and go and take them their lunch. They're going to have Black Jack hamburgers today. They're doing a fantastic job. Mayor, this is a part of your Grow South and demolition commitment to the city. They will be in this McDonald's district on Thursday. Ms. Alonzo's district on Thursday. That's our big media day, knocking down the boarded houses there. And they'll also be in Ms. Atkins' district. They will be in Ms. Hill's district this next week. And they're also going to knock down a couple of houses in my district. But they're doing a fantastic job, and the city of Dallas just needs to know what's going on in those neighborhoods when they see the big army trucks rolling through the neighborhood and the smiles on the children's face. And after they clear it up, the children have been a safe place to live and play. So I want to let you know that's going on.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. And to the city council and to the citizens, tomorrow afternoon we will begin our 2013 Dallas City Council annual retreat, where we go away and have time to reflect and think about things that are happening. It'll be in two parts. We're not planning to make any decisions or take any action on anything in this retreat. We want this to be a reflective time so we can learn how to do better. Tomorrow's going to be focused on the future of Dallas, the progress we've made or the lack thereof in some areas, and what we need to be thinking about as citizens. As stimulus for tomorrow's discussion, I will I've asked four well-known Dallas area thought leaders to make presentations with Sabia. We've got Jim Seitz, we've got Robert Deckard, and Dr. Zan Holmes are recognized as leaders in their respective fields. They get bring us different points of view. We're going to sit back and listen to them. They've been around a long time. It will be a chance for us that they represent the book viewpoints and provide insights that hopefully will be helpful for us. We will ask them questions and engage in that dialogue. Hopefully that will be exciting discussion. At dinner, I've asked the four city council people that will be leaving us to kind of reflect on their time as city council people and give us thoughts they've got so we can learn from them as well. And then on Friday, we will be taking the next step after going back to you in regards to the subjects of ethics and public officials. We'll bring in a special guest to kind of talk about best practices out there and what we want to do as a city council in regards to this important subject. So I'm looking forward to it. Thank you all for participating. And I think I wanted to pass this out, right? So everybody's got what's going on. And with that...
Yeah, we get a chance to ask Jim Seitz some questions.
You can. You can. We've got 10 minutes. Okay? You've got 10 minutes to ask questions. And with that, if you will bring... if you guys can bring this up, I think Mr. Cadane's not here, so I'm going to have to lead us in a birthday song to Miss Jason. Okay? So I'm in charge of that. So happy birthday, Miss Jason. What's that? No, is the answer, but I will try. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy City Council will go now into recess and we will reconvene at 1 o'clock p.m. Thank you.
Recess at 11:19.
Good afternoon, everyone. If the council members will take their seats, I would appreciate it. It is 1:01. Welcome, everyone. Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We're going to begin with the zoning consent agenda items, which consisted of items number 49 through 63. However, several items do need to be pulled for individual consideration. Item number 61 is pulled as it requires a three-quarters vote. Item number 53 is being pulled by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Items number 54, 55, 56, 59, and 60 are being pulled by Councilmember Wilson. Therefore, for your consideration of public input, you have agenda items 49 to 50, 52, 57, 58, 61, 62, and 63. All of these go into the record. Item number 49 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a vehicle display sales and service use on property within the said area one portion of plan development district number 366, the Buckner Boulevard Special Purpose District, with a D1 liquor control overlay on the east line of Buckner Boulevard, south of Astoria Drive. Item number 50 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a microbrewery, microdistillery, or winery on property zone conservation district number 7, the Bishop H Street Conservation District on the northwest corner of North Bishop Avenue and West 7th Street. Item number 52 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a renewal of specific use permit number 1789 for a medical clinic on property within the Tract 1A portion of Plan Development District number 316, the Jefferson Area Special Purpose District on the north line of Jefferson Boulevard west of Madison Street. Item number 57 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Phase 1A and 1B portion of Plan Development District number 121 for TH4 townhouse district uses and GR General Retail district uses on the southwest corner of Walnut Hill Lane and North Central Expressway. Item number 58 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for private streets and properties owned in I-16A single family district on the north side of Forest Lane between Hampstead Lane and Creekway Drive. Item number 61 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a bar, lounge, or tavern and a microbrewery, micro distillery, or winery on properties on Sub-District 6 within Plan Development District number 830 on the southeast corner of West Davis Street and North Hollis Street. Item number 62 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a childcare facility on property zoned in R-7.5A single family district on the northwest side of Ann Arbor Avenue, southwest of Sierra Drive. Item number 63 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MOA neighborhood office district on property zoned in GA duplex district and an ordinance terminating specific use permit number 41 for a public library on the west corner of Ferguson Road and Hawking Drive. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the items that were read into the record in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Are there any speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to pass.
Thank you, Mayor. It is my pleasure to move to approve these items. Thank you for the second from Mayor Pickin. I think Deputy Pickin. I think just want to say that this continues the great job that people are doing in Bishop Arts today, and I just want to congratulate especially those folks who worked so hard on getting the winery licenses, and invite you all to come and partake as soon as you can. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the motion and second discussion, Ms. Alonzo.
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to, if Madam Secretary would just clarify the numbers, I just want to make sure I got them correctly.
Thank you. For your concern, the items that were read into the record are 49 through 50, 52, 57, 58, 61 through 63.
Thank you. Any other discussion? We have a motion and second. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you. We go now to item number 51. Item number 51 requires a three-quarters vote, and that is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for recycling buyback center on property zoned in L1 Light Industrial District on the north side of Congressman Lane, east of Denton Drive.
We need to postpone that item.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So let's move ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, we're controlling the notice, popular motion to the request, receiving 5 in favor and 75 in opposition. If the opposition is only more than 20% of anger, this is going to be the request to see for the same request.
Thank you.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers this morning.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the zoning changes recommended by the City Council.
Motion second. We need 2 seconds?
Yes.
Yeah, no. We don't need 2 seconds. Excuse me. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried.
Item number 53 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1694 for a bar, lounge, or tavern and an entire commercial amusement limited to a live music venue on property zone Plan Development District number 269, the Deep Ellum Near East Side Special Purpose District on the southeast line of Elm Street, west of Holly Street.
This notice has 22 notices to property owners and intends to do a request to see 2 to 5 in favor and 5 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers this morning.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following change: that the maximum area for the uncovered patio is 2,500 square feet.
Do we have a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Mayor, would you please clarify who made the second?
Thank
you very much. Item number 54 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the installation of a non-pregnant district activity video board sign on properties on Plan Development District Number 619 on the southwest corner of Commerce Street and South Irving Street.
Madam Mayor, we sent 32 notices popping up from GMC to their request. We see 3 5 in favor and no 5 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Grayson did call the item.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't want to do anything but vote no on all these video board items, so I told them so I could vote no, because we're going to be just like overrun with video boards downtown. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll entertain motion consent.
Mr. Mayor, I wanted to ask a question of Ryan, if I could. Ryan, right now we have an allowance for video boards in downtown. We also have super graphics. Do we have any relationship between economic development and super graphics or video boards?
Right now, there is no direct tie or requirement that the super graphics or video boards have anything to do with the redevelopment of buildings. That is something I think in the future we need to look at.
I would like to see us to see that. I think that that is a reasonable thing for us to get out of thinly crafted graphics in our downtown, is to make sure there's some nexus, there's some connection between that and the redevelopment of some of our buildings that are largely empty. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a motion? Okay, you guys, do we have a motion? So, Mr. Killer?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. And I just wanted to say that I'm excited. And I was going to be on record. I'm excited about these video boards that I'm seeing. And I was driving the other night, and I was looking at them, and I said, well, you know, they're not as intrusive as what the billboards used to really be like. And so I just wanted to be on record saying I'm excited. I think it's adding vibrancy, and it's just different, and it's uplifting to me. I want to be on record. I support it. Obviously, we have about 150 more of them. It's going straight up down central and all over the city.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
I have to respond to Mr. Carroll.
I'm so surprised.
And the same way I responded to Mr. Allen was, I'm excited to join, but not in the same way you are.
All right. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. And one opposed. Thank you. Next item.
Item number 56 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the installation of a non-tenant district activity video board sign on properties on Plan Development District Number 619 on the northeast corner of North Griffin Street and Elm Street.
Agreed. Without reading 56 under the record?
Okay. I read 56. I'll read 55 into the record.
Item
number 55 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the installation of a non-tenant district activity video wall sign on properties on Plan Development District Number 619 on the southwest corner of Commerce Street and South Irving Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 32 notices, popping up two of the two of their requests. Is 2 5 in favor and no 5 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion. Got a motion and a second. Mr. Hunt and Mr. Atkins.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? One opposed.
Item number 56 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the installation of a non-tenant district activity video board sign on properties on Plan Development District Number 619 on the northeast corner of North Griffin Street and Elm Street.
If Mayor, we send 11 notices, proper action, and 2 of the request, received 1 reply in favor and no reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion from the front. Mr. Atkins? Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. One opposed? Thank you.
There is one opposed? Thank you. 59 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for installation of a non-tenant district activity video board on property zoned in CA-1A Central Area District on the northwest corner of North Griffin Street and Elm Street.
Mr. Mayor, within 13 notices, property notices, and 2 video requests, speak one reply in favor and no reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Garland.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to close the public hearing and approve this item.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Excuse me. We got one opposed. Good.
Item number 60 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for installation of a non-tenant district activity video board on property zoned in CA-1A Central Area District on the northwest corner of North Griffin Street and Elm Street.
Mr. Mayor, within 13 notices, property owners from CMCDA request, received 1 reply in favor and no reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Garland.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to close the public hearing and approve item number 60.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. You're voting no. Okay, you got one no.
Thank you. We now go to the regular individual zoning items. Item number 64 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new sub-district within the light commercial office sub-district portion of Plan Development District Number 631, the West Davis Central Public District, on the northwest corner of West Davis Street and the unimproved portion of Tatum Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, within 50 notices, the property notice and 502 that are requested, 4 or 5 in favor and 1 or 5 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition?
Let me call Mr. Alonzo first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to keep the public hearing open and hold for February the 13th agenda.
The motion and second on that. Start and through.
Sure.
Okay. Any discussion on the slide? None? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried.
Item number 55 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a juvenile liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of 3,500 square feet or less on property zoned in RR Regional Retail District with a juvenile liquor control overlay on the north side of East Ledbetter Drive, southeast of Interstate 35.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 6 notices property owners within CNC daily cash, which is 2 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Fairway.
Yes, Mayor, I'd like to move approval on this item, close the public hearing, and move approval.
There's a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
The following statement pertains to items number 66 through 72 and item number 74. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent, they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 66 is a public hearing and an honor granting an IM industrial manufacturing district and a resolution accepting due description volunteered by the applicant on property zoned in IM industrial research district on the south line of Ryan Road, East of Lillard Road.
This Mayor, this is an 18 notices, property notice, and 42 days request. We received 4 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to keep the public hearing open and hold for the February 13th agenda.
Motion and second to keep it open. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 67 is a public hearing and an honor granting a CS commercial service district on property zoned a CS tested housing district on the south side of Ronnie Drive and north side of Newt Drive, east of Jefferson Street.
This Mayor, within 11 of these properties within 203 day requests, with 2 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition. Due to the opposition of more than 20% of the land within 203 day requests, it will require a 3-quarter vote.
We do have one individual signed up to speak on this item. He will be called first, and then the item will be open to the rest of the public. The speaker is Jim Young. Mr. Young, you do have 2 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. State whether you're in favor or in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item.
I'm in opposition for the approval because the issue in the residential area, both by asking for home house, and it's not good for commercial use there. The other thing is that because if we pass the line, it's going to be much more of common, good common, so that's good and necessity. So I think it's good for common.
Thank you. Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? We do have one speaker coming up. So please state your name and address for the record.
Please.
Go ahead, sir. Please state your name and address for the record.
Yeah. My name is Oscar Lindquist. I live at 7759 Ronnie Drive on the north side. The property under consideration for rezoning is on the south side. I have lived there for 49 years and was involved in the inner city government before we became consolidated with Dallas. At the original zoning meeting, the plan was that all of that development called Older Nation, which includes the subject property, was to be commercial. Because there were old folks that got all excited and didn't understand. They said, oh, this is where you're going to go to my houses. They didn't understand, and being a guy of about 3 years old at the time, I stood up and said, you know, I think you're absolutely right, this area should be commercial. But why don't we just leave it that anything that's being used residentially will be residential for now, and anything that's not being used residentially will be commercial, and any residents in the future, they won't have to apply, all they have to do is come to City Hall and say, we're ready to have our property rezoned as commercial. And that's the way it went down in the Renner River. Dallas assigned two-plus zoning to it, and then the block under question at the moment for rezoning asked to rezone it as multifamily. The city council, for some reason, voted not to approve it, and I think that was the right thing. I don't think it should be residential. I think that area definitely should be commercial, and that's what's on the city plan. And the city council at that time, they rejected changing it to multifamily, but they rezoned it clustered housing. And most owners in that area don't have enough land to develop it as clustered housing, so it absolutely blocks them from doing anything. And that's the case of the property today. I would plead with you for efficiency's sake to vote in favor of changing the zoning to commercial service, which is what has been on the plan of City of Dallas for a number of years now, and was the original understanding of what would be suitable in that area. If there's any questions, I would entertain them, but otherwise I will thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for coming down.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the City Council recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I want to thank most of the speakers.
Thank you, Mayor. This is figure that I two adjacent property owners for 3/4 vote. One of those gentlemen was Mr. Lindquist, who just spoke to you. And it kind of highlights something that I've expressed a concern about before to city staff. You know, they get folks in these zoning cases, get these forms to fill out with a yes or a no, and then there's a comment section on there. So Mr. Lindquist said no, except or unless, and his unless has been met. So he comes down here today and speaks in favor, but Ms. Six figured into a 3/4 vote. I've said to staff before, don't put a comment section on there because people think that you actually read them and take that into consideration. We don't. All we get is that straight yes or no total response. So when Mr. Lentzel said that his concern was met, and his concern was that one of his surrounding property owners, one of his neighbors, had applied, as he said before, for a zoning change, didn't get it, and doesn't want that gentleman to have to go through the whole process and pay all the fees again. Well, we're going to have, within the next year, an authorized change to take in all of the surrounding property and change it to CS zoning. We tried to do that now with Ms. Haynes' case, but we weren't able to get all of the agreement in time, and we kept her waiting now since last summer for her zoning change. So we decided to go forward with this zoning change now, knowing that within a year we will encompass the surrounding properties and it will be uniform, which is what staff is concerned about. So I ask for your vote, especially since Mr. Lentis is here today and he's speaking in favor of it. Thank you.
Any motion, second? Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried.
Item number 68 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and extension of specific use permit number 363 for a cemetery and mausoleum on property zoned in LDR 7.5A, single family district, and LO1 limited office district, and GLA general office district with deed restrictions, and an MU3 mixed use district with deed restrictions, and an ordinance granting an LO2 limited office district on that portion of the request site zoned in LDR 7.5A, single family district, and an LO1 limited office district in the southwest quadrant of Greenwell Avenue and Westland Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 25 notices to property owners and 503 their request. We see 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition? We do have one individual coming up. Yeah. So please state your name and address for the record.
I'm Taylor Song at 13140 Court Road, $350, Texas, 75240. My client is Whitestone Offices. I am the representative. We had circulated a letter explaining that we did not have noticed that the public hearing was going to go forward in today's proceedings, and we just respectfully request that the matter be put under a short advisement period so that we could adequately respond to the public hearing.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? Thank you, the speaker, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, all in favor. Motion to
speak. Mr. Mayor, before we make a motion, I'd like to ask one question.
Yes, please do.
Can I have a staff at this second thing? Howard, this is an area where there's a rezoning case at Westland Cemetery. The opposition said they haven't gotten a notification on the Active Planning Commission's recommendation. The staff has provided the notification of them actually sending out the notification. It's interesting. Explain what the process is, David, how you determine how you send out notification after the Planning Commission hearing.
Yes, under both our city ordinances and under state law, we send notices to the property owner of record on the last certified tax roll. So, Whitestone receives notice based on the address on that tax roll.
Okay. Do you send them out an email as well, or does the state law prohibit you from doing that?
It doesn't prohibit, but no, there's not an email there. Obviously, we can refer and consult with a lot of folks that are following zoning cases and try to keep them abreast of their contact. It will certainly respond with that information.
Do you remember if you had telephoned them or emailed them after the notification had gone out or had conversations with them about this?
I don't recall any conversations over the past few weeks from now.
Okay. I'm going to take their word for it that they didn't receive this notification in the mail. I'll talk to the opponent of the case. I'd like him to come down, Mr. Song. Would you answer a question for me? If I postpone this until I think it's the next agenda meeting is February the 13th, I just want to just your word, I guess, that then you're not going to come in and put the $1,000 down and then have it postponed again. I don't think that really would be a fair thing, because then by asking me to postpone it as a council member and using my authority to do so for you to come in, I don't even know if you can do that or not. To come in and then put down money, whatever that costs, to the whole don't have the amount of the postponement cost. I don't think that would be a fair way to do it. So, this gives you 3 weeks. I want to know if you will agree to that or not.
Yes. I'll send it to
you. Okay. Lorna, I'd like to, thank you, Mr. Thank you. I'd like to keep the public hearing open until February the 13th.
So you make a motion you second. Thank you. I didn't hear that. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 69 is a public hearing of an ordinance granting a planned development subdistrict for MF3 multiple family uses on properties zoned in MF3 multiple family subdistrict within planned development district number 193. The Oakland Special Purpose District had a deed liquor control overlay on the southeast corner of Hood Street and Brown Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 551 notices, property owners in 503 to every request, received 173 replies in favor, and 27 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor? If you would, one individual at a time, please, if you please step out, state your name and address for the record, and you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak each.
Thank you. Cindy Harris at 3710 Rollins with Associated Estates, and I reside at 2900 McKinnon. Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Our property is noted as located at 2702 Hood in the Turtle Creek neighborhood, and this project is on the same block as the Mansion residence and the Plaza 1 and 2 condominium building. We are currently seeking approval of a PD subdistrict for a development project that is a $55 million investment in this neighborhood. The core elements of this project include an upscale multifamily rental property with approximately 250 units and 375 parking spaces. All of the parking for this community is located off the public street and is not visible from either Dan and Hood. There are 2 access points to this community, so we are dispersing traffic throughout the neighborhood in a very secure manner. The landscape and streetscape elements actually exceed the code, and in fact, all of the ground floor units will have close access to the sidewalk,
and will also provide a sweep, a patio, or a pit on the ground floor. We designed the property to fit within a varied scale. Our Mediterranean design is respectful of the character of the neighborhood, and the scale of our building, which is 9 floors, is respectful of the various heights in the property. We're building on 50% of the property, which includes a pet park and significant scene mitigation. Another variance that we were requesting is in the side yard setback, and we think that it's a fair request given the significant reduction in density and zoning that we're allowed by right. We're very pleased to report that as a result of significant neighborhood outreach, which included over 20 meetings with a variety of neighborhood groups, and compromise really from all stakeholders, including the developer and the neighborhood group, but this plan enjoys very widespread support, as noted by Mr. Carson. We also have 9 letters of written support from a wide variety of neighborhood groups and associations, which included hundreds of property owners, and we were excited about that, as well as our support from the staff and the City Planning Commission. As a result, we respectfully request the support of our TD subjects. Thank you. Thank you. Any other speakers in favor?
Thank you, Ms. Mayor and Council Members. My name is John. I'm from Vincent Model on Main Street. And it's been my privilege to work with Cindy Harrison, associated with space in this case. We also respectfully ask your approval today on the basis of the Planning Commission recommendations. A couple of things I just want to put on the record just for clarification purposes. There are a couple of questions I asked of the City Attorney's Office and staff earlier. The proposed city subject to conditions they were recommended by the Planning Commission law for 6-foot patio encroachments into the setback at ground level above 45 feet, and this is part of the Planning Commission recommendation. There's an additional 10-foot setback. It's our intention to use that additional 10-foot setback as terraces for the units at that level. And that's everyone's intent. In fact, I have an email here from Jennifer Zeromoto, who's our planner on the case, says it was our intent to allow for fencing rails on the rooftop patio. So I just want to clarify that we are going to be able to use railings on the terraces on the 45-foot level in addition to the 6-foot encroaching to the patio at the ground level. And related to that question is, what is the meaning of the unenclosed patio? I'll clarify that with Tracy Burgess with the City Attorney's Office, that that does allow for the use of wrought iron fencing as opposed to solid masonry fencing. So I don't know what the appropriate avenue is to make sure that that's on the record or even restating it. But we would respectfully request that we'll be agreed on that basis. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Not for the speakers this morning.
Thank you. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let me get some clarification from Felicia Davis about the issues raised by Mr. Benson. So do we need to do anything to...
No, I mean, clearly it's been tricky along to be required by code anyway. It's not considered an enclosure. I mean, for the right on track to be allowed.
So bottom line is, we need to add anything to the intervention point. Okay. Thank you. Just 1 minute, sir. Colleagues, I've had the opportunity to work with the developer and the representative on this, and first I want to say thank you for working diligently with the neighbors and with the Oakland Committee. I know how hard you work on that. I appreciate it, and that's what I think really makes the difference in these zoning cases. This is a terrific project, and I love the way, as you pointed out to me before, this is a nice transition between a high-rise and then lower condos. It's a nice mid-rise project. I think it's going to be a great asset for the city, great for our tax base. And I wholeheartedly support this with my supporter closing the public hearing.
Okay. There are motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 70 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 70, an ordinance granting the removal of the D liquor control overlay and the D1 liquor control overlay, and an ordinance terminated specific permit number 1574 for a restaurant with alcoholic beverage service on the northeast corner of Northwest Highway and Midway Road.
Mr. Mayor, we send 122 notices, property owners can file and see their request. We receive 4 or 5 in favor and 3 or 5 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers this morning.
Thank you. Ms. Margolin.
Thank you, Mayor. I move that we close the public hearing and approve the CPC recommendation.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 71 was deleted on the agenda. Item number 72 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 334 for commercial amusement inside and outside uses on the north line of Park Lane, northwest of Abel's Road.
Mr. Mayor, with 15 and 15 notices, property owners from 5 and 2 of the road request, received them in favor and notified in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor, this item does require two seconds.
Thank you, Ms. Margolin.
Thank you. I move that we close the public hearing and approve the CPC recommendation.
Okay. We have a motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 73 is a public hearing authorizing a public hearing to determine proper zoning on property zoned in L-5A single family district, a CS commercial service district with specific use permit number 1701 for commercial motor vehicle parking, and an all-air industrial research district on approximately 21 acres generally located on the north side of Singleton Boulevard between the Palm Street to the west and Berkeley Avenue Canada Drive to the east and south of Treadwell Street. To allow for mixed uses and consideration of applying neighborhood stabilization overlay number 13 to properties zoned in large ag 5A single family district on the east side of the town street and the north side of the NMT right of way for 50th Street. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item?
From Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to keep the public hearing open and colleagues, I ask for your support to vote and support me in delaying this item until the February 13th agenda. Thank you.
We've got a motion and a second for keeping the public hearing open. There'll be time to speak on it later and delay this. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 74 is a public hearing on number 1, substantial amendment number 17 to amend the 2008-2009 to 2012-2013 consolidated plan and the fiscal year 2012-2013 action plan to use the Department of Housing and Urban Development HUD funds to incorporate additional city priority needs and resources, including A, elimination of lines on a spot basis as an enumerated community development grant CDBG section 108 guarantee loan program activities, and B, identification of the Holiday Inn and Suites project as an eligible CDBG economic development activity, providing an estimated 90 permanent full-time jobs to be held by low and moderate income persons, and providing elimination of specific conditions of light, physical decay, or environmental contamination not located in a slum or blighted area, and number 2, a proposed City of Dallas submission of an application to HUD for a CDBG Section 108 guarantee loan program loan of $11 million to assist with rehabilitation of a vacant commercial building for the Holiday Inn and Suites project located at 1011 South Essex Street that will create an estimated 90 permanent full-time jobs to be held by individuals with incomes of 80% or less of area median family income, and at the close of the public hearing, authorize final adoption of substantial amendment number 17, approved modification of the CDBG Section 108 loan program statement, and the city manager to submit the application and take necessary actions in connection with the application submission. Further, this item does relate to District 14, not District 2, so we need to clarify that for the record. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item number 74 that was read into the record? Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, my name is Rick Sheridan with the 3224 St. John Texas.
It says financing no cost consideration to the city. Someone's paying for it. I guess when you spend other people's money, it's okay. Has an economic analysis been done if the city of Dallas and the taxpayers are paying for this project? Thank you very much.
Thank you. We do have some individual conduct to speak on this item. Larry Hamilton. Larry Hamilton, is he here?
Thank you. Larry Hamilton, 1310 Elm Street, Dallas, Texas. I represent Hamilton Properties Corporation, which is the developer. We think this is a very worthwhile economic development project and would encourage you to support the staff recommendation. This is going to create a dynamic entry point to the southern sector from downtown, create economic development in a very high profile location along I-30. We think it's a very worthwhile project, and I'm here to respond to any questions you may have. And there are several representatives of the Cedars Neighborhood Association who support it, who also have joined us. Thank you.
The next speaker is Paul D. Cook. Mr. Cook will be followed by John P. Greenan and Michael Perdicke. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Paul Cook. I reside at 1110 South Acres. I'm the owner and operator of the Hotel Newland, slash Piggy Wiggly, Cedar Corner Apartments and Lofts. Been here for 10 years. I'm acutely aware of the problems that we had with the plaza being vacant for probably close to 5 years. I strongly urge you to support Agenda Item 74. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is John P. Greenan.
John Greenan, 511 North Acres in Dallas. I'm here today in my capacity as chairman of the board of the Texas Educational Opportunity Fund, which will be the owner of this property. TEOF has the purpose of supporting affordable housing efforts in the city, and it does so by doing projects that actually earn income, which then can donate to be used for affordable housing. We think that this project will be very helpful in supporting additional affordable housing projects also in the city, and we urge you to support it. Thank you very much.
The next speaker is Michael Perdicke.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and City Council. My name is Michael Perdicke. I reside at 1602 Beaumont in Dallas. I am the president of the Cedars Neighborhood Organization, which is an organization that for years has been working closely with the city residents and businesses to revitalize our area. We have some Cedars area members here today, and we want to show our support for this project. We feel that the project brings over 90 jobs to the area. We'll have restaurants, we'll have retail space. It'll be a really good economic driver that will greatly benefit our neighborhood. And additionally, the project is located at a major gateway to the Cedars and downtown, and will greatly enhance the aesthetics of the area. We support any project that will transform the Cedars neighborhood by adding more residents, more jobs, more commercial, more retail, and generally improve the quality of life. Thank you for your attention and hopefully for your support for this measure. It's a very important to our neighborhood and all the neighborhoods in the southern country. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on the item, either in favor or in opposition?
My name is Tim DeGloria. I live at 1111 South Acres, which is across the street from the impacted property. I own a unit there. And I want to speak out in favor of this project. Right now we have an abandoned building there that's right on the area in its current condition. We have homeless people breaking in and getting in there, and we keep calling the police and having them pulled out, and they keep coming back in again. And this is precisely the kind of project that we need to begin to reverse what's going on in that area and to begin to turn this around. It is going to create some jobs for the area at no cost to the Dallas taxpayer. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers?
Yes, my name is Gwen Lee. And really what I see down here is $11 million, and it's supposed to be beneficial to poor people. This is what I'm interpreting. But anybody pulled down here asking for this money? You don't know nothing about it. If you're going to be so beneficial to me, why am I not informed about what you're going to do? But $11 million is a bunch of money. And I don't particularly, I really understand how millionaires come down here and get money that's supposed to be allocated to poor people to enhance their livelihood. I see them down here with white folks with money asking for the $11 million. And poor people don't know what we're gonna, what they're going to do with it. And if y'all stop tearing down housing, and then some of these non-profits rehabilitate these houses in these communities, then people would not be homeless. And they can talk about the people who don't live here and just work here. This time the dollar store wasn't the college people. And not Highland Park and University Park and all these other little towns around here. Thank God, I hope these things with this $11 million they're going to be here.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on the item?
Thank you, Council. My name is Zod from Iowa. Been developing home ownership and live workspaces and creative office spaces for the last 15 years in the city. And I think we're in the development next to the plaza location. And it's been a stimulating conversation over the last years on Ohio's best use of the location. I'm very excited about this public-private partnership. And I want to say personally, it's not for the city's participation in those programs, along with a tenacious development attitude that didn't happen to be a bulk building. So I just want to say thank you for your support and continue to want to be part of making good things happen in that district. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. John.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and to John and Mary and Michael, I call Michael P., and to Zad. I know Zad has been on the forefront of this. I remember when he broke ground at his development. It was like, wow, it's an empty lot, and he turned around, and, you know, there's the front yard is downtown. And what how long, you know, where we've gone, you know, with the theaters. Michael P., thank you very much for coming down. He alone, just in the theaters, does so much, you know, for the community, for his area, and help make him laugh and your friendship is just great. I value your friendship a whole lot. Larry, thank you very much for trying and not giving up. I think this is great. When I think about your project, I think of synergy and fighting blindness, as people mentioned. But it complements so much of what is happening in the city. You know, the row housing there with Mr. Miller, the 1400 Bellevue project coming out, blocks away from the transit center. And again, you know, downtown is basically your front yard. So I enthusiastically support this, and I'd like to move to close the public hearing and support the item number 74.
We have a motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. I want to echo congratulations for your hard work on this. Thank you.
And Mr. Mayor, clarify the record that this item 74 did belong to District Number 2, the District 14 item will come up shortly. Item Number 75 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas goals and plan to change the dimensional classification of Wycliffe Avenue from Semin Freeway to Market Center Boulevard from a 6-lane divided roadway within 107 feet of right-of-way to a 4-lane undivided roadway within 600 feet of right-of-way, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Thank you very much. I'd like to, before I close the public hearing, want to just explain this is the area
between Margaret Center and the Renaissance Hotel, between Simmons Freeway, kind of the road kind of comes in between and behind Market Center and Market Hall, and then Stewart, right through Market Center. It just narrows it from six to four lanes, and we've got up and coming development at the renovation and really a lot of development money at the Renaissance, and I think this is going to be a great enhancement for the area. And I'd like to close the public hearing and approve item number 75.
The motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you. Item number 76 does pertain to District 13, not District 2. This is a public hearing to amend number 1. The City of Dallas Gulf has planned to change the dimensional classification of Harwood Street from Cedar Space Road to Woodall Rogers Freeway from an existing template to a two-way, four-lane undivided roadway within 600 feet of right-of-way. And number 2, the CDB Street and vehicle circulation plan to change the operational characteristics of Harwood Street from Woodall Rogers Freeway to Forest Street from three lanes southbound to one lane northbound and one lane southbound of Harwood Street from Forest Street to Ross Avenue from four lanes southbound to two lanes northbound and two lanes southbound. And at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the changes. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. A motion second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes the agenda items. We now continue to the afternoon speakers.
Before you do, was Ms. Grayson, another question?
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to ask Ryan something. Going back to the comment forms on the zoning cases, you know, I had requested years ago a change where council members get to see those before we vote on them, and I'm glad you did that. I think that's very helpful. But I go back to the fact that I think most people, when they write a comment on that form, do not understand that that in no way changes the yes or no response, and that, you know, we just kind of tally those up to see whether it triggers a supermajority vote or not. And if I would just appreciate it if we could take a look at that comment form and see if there is some language we can add on there to indicate to folks that, you know, really, those comments aren't, they're not treated in the way that people believe they're treated. So if you could take a look at that, I would appreciate that. Can you get back with me?
I'll take it.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Afternoon speakers.
The afternoon speakers are going to begin with William Hopkins, Azumba Life, Richard Sheldon, Wayne Newton, Nicola London, and Paul Goodwin. If any of these individuals are signed up to speak, if you would please step closer to the sitting area next to the podium, that would certainly facilitate the speaking process. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety calling every conduct out of the members of the City Council. Any person making personal, intimate, profane, or slanderous remarks or who converses while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the content and honors are circulated by the presiding officer, and the person shall be allowed to serve the audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed to minister to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, and you will address your comments to Mayor Rollins. The first speaker is William Hopkins.
Last week I was speaking on the idiot, about the idiot and a lawsuit about the idiot. What the security guard just gave you was the same thing she gave you last week, Rollins. The first sheet is a letter where the city wrote us and told us they didn't have no involvement with the lead. If they weren't involved, then the city didn't have nothing to do with it. This was August 18, 1997. So, you turn to the next page, Mel Rollins, and at the top of the page, this is a court order where the city of Dallas sued the RSR.
Olive Lead Plant and the Milford Mills. Now in 97, you wrote us and told us that the city wasn't involved on the first letter. It's got a letter here from the city, no Rollins. On the second sheet is a court order with a public health. It's got you're supposed to do for the residents and the individuals and the children and everybody. Lowell Miller husband, Steve Woolley, was working for the state when the city sued Mel Rollins. So what happened is when the city and the state sued, Steve Woolley was a state representative. He's supposed to help us with the lawsuit. But his law firm ended up with the lawsuit, Fred Byron and Bird Law Firm. He was a state representative and he was a member of the Fred Byron and Bird Law Firm. So what the state did is keep the money, since we were black, the state got to keep the money, and Lowell Miller Hubs and Steve Woolley had his law firm to get the case and pick paid people and give people money that didn't even live in West Dallas. All this is documenting and everything. And James Cracknell was the head of the EPA in 97. The same year in 97, I went to the Dallas Morning, they wrote in the Dallas Morning News where James Cracknell had stepped down and went home to be with her family. That was after I went to the FBI, Merrill Rollins, in the West End and told them that James Cracknell was supposed to be head of the EPA when she helped us with the lead, when she helped the Fred Byron and Bird and Lowell Miller husband with the lead, with the people with the lead in West Dallas. So they really told her what I had gave them the information on, and so a couple of weeks later, James Cracknell stepped down to go home to be with her family. They wrote about it in the Dallas Morning News in 1997, the same year that the city lied and said that they didn't have nothing to do with the lawsuit. And I'm just trying to get some help. The city got the money. They're waiting on the people to die. They have to come in with the Trinity River and get the white people the money. And then I guess y'all gonna say the lead, want the white people get there, and then y'all gonna give it get the white people the lead money from the blacks that's dying in West Dallas. So when the FBI come, that's why I keep giving it to you. So when the FBI come down here, I want you to say you didn't know, you didn't have no idea what happened, and I'm gonna keep giving it to you till the FBI come, Mel Rollins. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next speaker is November Lynch. Mr. Lynch will be followed by Richard Sheridan, Gwen Wooten, Nicola London, and Charles Goodwin.
Hello, City Council. Sorry, I was late. I got something somewhere. I think I can't remember what I want to say. But I've been in West Dallas for 63 years now. And we had lead. We had lead, all those. Battery places, mobile places, all places, single places. I mean, we had everything. I probably put battery chips in my mouth when I was a kid. You know, you big time over there when it comes to battery chips in your mouth and that, dog. If you could get drivers, man, you had a driveway. You was living downtown, you know what I mean? Because they put pastries in the West Dallas housing project, and we were in the lower cost home in Westmoreland for a while. But, I remember the fertilizer plant that we all rode across the street from high school, and right behind Texas Chicken, and across the street from West Dallas from our shopping center, that was switched there between Singleton and that would be Johnson. That block, right across the street from Houston, that whole block there was a fertilizer plant. And all the houses from Johnson, from Singleton to Johnson were white, just like snow was on them. I remember some old black people walking out on crutches and sticks. And they took it here, 3 or 4 shovels in them, and the house was covered. It was all stuffed, and they couldn't let the windows up out of the spring here. And I used to walk past there in the first, second, third, fourth grade to see that car going through. And we had to put flies over our faces to breathe if we took the shortcut. And those poor people, they're stuck from the living room, and I wonder if they ever got paid for that. Just like the lawyer and all the other colleagues in Sunshine Island community. Just like every time I got arrested for no reason, I was not released and I was innocent. I was treated different than my white brothers. When I talked to my white brothers, they laughed at me. They said, I'm human. They wouldn't do us like this. They stopped doing you like that, what they did to you. They don't put the pressure on every time you like you got. He said, man, you know what? He said, you don't have a criminal record. I said, well, yeah, I know. He said, well, you look, man, just from that. This is my white man telling me this. But I'm saying that we'll get a lot of injustice down to us.
I get a lot of rejection going to school down here. You say you're down here all the time talking about the same thing. No one is trying to resolve anything or sit with us. Yes, it's mayor and everything. Yes, you're down here talking about the same thing. No one is quick with me. You have one gentleman tried to have a meeting here, and you have people come down I don't even know. You didn't even know. And no one showed up to the meeting. And I want to thank this woman here on this council. I'm not going to call her name. You tried to hold a meeting with us. But you know, it was sad. And I feel bad, not for, I feel bad for the system, the way it was treated me. And I try to be a good kid. All of them have been a good kid. I don't mention about my own business. But like I said, I call it tenders. Tenders for my business, me for your business alone. I don't mention nobody. But I don't think anybody should abuse anyone. But you know, the system has not been treating me fair. And I'm not saying because I'm black, this is the truth. Now, maybe some people look guilty, but hey, I'm sorry, you know, I'm not guilty. But God bless y'all. Y'all have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zimba. My name is Richard Curran. I live at 3224 St. Gaul, Texas. I'm here to speak about their ethics code, these Jonas Demise. God's ethics code was created by corrupt lawyers to protect corrupt elected officials. The recent rejection of my ethics complaint versus a city council member was one of the most obvious cases of blatant ethics violations. In the hearing, there were about 8 city officials, including 3 lawyers, the city council member, and her high-priced lawyer. I was alone representing a few dozen highly frustrated citizens that have filed ethics complaints over the last 8 years. During the 2 biggest cases of city and county corruption in Dallas history, not one elected official was found guilty of anything with Dallas ethics code. The existing ethics code was put in place by former Mayor Laura Miller, who left office in disgrace. He was an unindicted co-conspirator in the city's fall for Patrick Miller Hill's federal corruption case. I and many others say Miller was granted immunity by the FBI to testify versus the black city council member, John Hill, with which he had a contentious relationship. The most guilty party in the federal case, Brian Patrick, quote, who got less than a year and who got 18 years in prison, would not have become the $40 million millionaire without Mayor Miller's help. For those who believe in what the Bible says, we are here in the time of Revelation, which writes about the fall of the corrupt Babylon and replacement by a new city on earth. Specifically, Dallas, the old Dallas will soon be removed, and those who pray out in Dallas today will consume themselves as an insatiable fire that they are. There isn't enough stuff nor money to satisfy their lust for the material things. The new Dallas will arrive. Soon from the quote ashes of the old predator plantation apartheid style. Here are revised and tailored to Dallas version of Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, which to me best speaks to where Dallas is today. 47 years ago, our forefathers set forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, all men, women of all races, colors, creeds, and sexual orientations are created equal. Today we are engaged in a great uncivil war here in Dallas. Especially whether this Dallas or any other Dallas can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of this war at Dallas City Hall. We have come here to dedicate ourselves in this unrestful place, to give our lives and freedoms if necessary, that those now dying spiritually and physically may live. The lead poison in North Dallas, the homeless, the hospital genocide of pregnant black women, Wayne Wooten knows more about that than I do. The jailed children, the minorities sent to Texas slave ships, our state prisons. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this at Dallas City Hall. We cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate this ground as part of New Dallas until there is an exercise of those who rule us from here today. The world will soon know what we do here, and will remember and duplicate what we do here throughout our nation. There are many other smaller Dallas in the nation that will learn from what we do here. It is now for the, now for we the people to dedicate ourselves to this important work remaining before us. From the inspiration of those who have come before and suffered in this war in Dallas, we take increased devotion to the cause of freedom and justice, that this Dallas, under God, under a new episode, shall not have a, shall have a new birth of freedom. And the new Dallas resulting of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Thank you.
The next speaker is Wayne Wooten. Ms. Wooten will be followed by LaCoya London and Charles Goodwin.
Good afternoon. My name is Wayne Wooten. I'm a native born Dallas. I've been here since forever. I was educated by Riley Long. I understand English. I ran for mayor in 1984 against N.A. Stout and Saul Taylor up in New York in political process. I read the city charter. I know it's supposed to be owned by a charter. I didn't just come down here and just introduce myself to city council. The first time I was arrested was at the city council Congress. All hard was because James Charles Brown was murdered and his body was thrown to the back seat of a car. Police brutality. I'm not unfamiliar with government, local, state, nor federal. I'm an outstanding black Texas, appointed by the black legislature of the state of Texas. I was vice president of the National Tenant Organization of Michigan and Atlanta, Georgia, representing the Western region. I'm not unfamiliar with politics, but I am unfamiliar with what's going on down here because you are not abiding by the city charter of the city of Dallas. You do not have city council meetings on Wednesdays like you're supposed to every Wednesday. Not every other Wednesday, you're supposed to have a city council meeting every Wednesday according to the city charter. And a briefing is not a council meeting. Briefings are held on Mondays, city council meetings are held on Wednesdays. That's why you don't know what's going on down here. If you have a briefing on a weekend, a city council meeting next weekend, you've been doing so much in the community, you don't know what's going on. This building is empty. There isn't anybody in here. You're wasting taxpayers' money with 14 people in here and administration. We need staff in here. We do not need a city manager that goes out and signs somebody to do her work. If she's getting paid $250,000 a year, she will be able to manage this city and not go out and find contractors to do her job. And she know I want to go. I've never known a city manager to be under three council chambers. Three years. Well, what why? She can't find another job. Ain't no more city managers. She does not run this city, she's staff. They got y'all locked up in a corner over there in 100 rooms in this building, empty. And y'all in there like roaches. That's crazy. I am familiar with politics in Dallas. Thank you.
The next speaker is Latoya London. Ms. London is not present. The final speaker, Charles Goodwin.
Good afternoon. My name is Charles Goodwin, and I come before the council today to turn in my prescription, my medical bill, health care bill that wasn't paid by the city. I wanted to be into the record on record today. And I gave 3 copies to you, especially one for Mary Storm and other for Tom Patrick. Well, I want to thank the council and the mayor, especially. I just through the governor and the attorney general for what they brought to us, the people within that half a mile around the town of West Dallas. They were trying so hard to overturn what was done as the public health program. They tried so hard to, they ended up helping us. It became, well, it's the law of the land now. Law of the land. Without their help, we would be much farther behind, but I do think we are headed forward now. on page 6 of those booklets, it'll give you a better idea of what I'm trying to do. Page 6 is self-explanatory.
Is that it? Do you have anything else to say?
That'll be it.
Thank you. I'm going to have the lawyer pick this up to take some personal medical information. I don't think anybody wants to do it. So we'll have Mr. Clifton pick this up. Thank you. Thank you. Meeting's adjourned at 2:14 p.m. Thank you.